Namazuk Khanak Ashir, 2006.
Oh, the introduction.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, well, I wanted to go through an area tonight that's, it starts off looking like it's a result, like a peripheral detail with regard to the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. But as is often the case, when you start to go deeply into the area, it turns out that the details very often provide a glimpse as to really what the whole foundation or what the nature of the structure of the mitzvah is. So the area is is also l'ishtamesh l'or Chanukah, the iser of that you're not allowed to use or benefit from. Benefit from is a really a loose translation. I mean, I'll show you in a second. You're not allowed to benefit from or use the light of the Chanukah candles. And I say it's like a result because if you ask, like, what is the essential structure of the mitzvah, so you tell me that the essential structure is what the Ner is, where you place the Ner, what the Ner is for, and then once you have all those components in place, you know, so then you can speak about the idea that what you're allowed to, what you're not allowed to do with it. But so that's why I say it's like a result. But you see, I claim that once you go into it, so you'll see that there's something very, very basic about the issue of whether or not you're allowed to be mishtamish with the light of the candle. So, do you guys take a look at any of the area or not?
Oh, a little bit. Nothing.
Okay. All right. So it's really two halachos in the Rambam. It's in Hilchos Chanukah Perek Daled, halachos Vav and Ches. We'll start with the Rambam, and then we'll go back to a couple of other sources. But the Rambam says as follows: Kol Hashmanim v'Kol Tzilos Ksheirus L'Ner Chanukah. All oils and all wicks are kosher to be used for the Ner Chanukah. V'Af Al Pi She'Ein Hashmanim Nimshachim Achar Tzila. You're allowed to use even those oils that do not draw well, that don't draw easily into the wick, such that the flame is eina or nitleis yofe ba'osan atzilos, such that the flame is not going to burn too well, not going to burn too brightly in those wicks, because it's a poor draw of the oil. But it still doesn't matter. You're still allowed to use it on Chanukah. Vafilu b'leil Shabbos shebesoch yimei Chanukah. Even on Friday afternoon during Chanukah, you're still allowed to use those poor oils and wicks. Okay, now why do I have to say that? Because normally you're not allowed to use for Ner Shabbos, you're not allowed to use certain oils and certain wicks. That's the whole Bamei Madlikin. Right? Why not? Because for Ner Shabbos, so the whole purpose, the whole idea of Ner Shabbos is that a person should have light in the house. Okay, very good. So let's say you use light for Ner Shabbos, you use a candle which doesn't draw too well, and the flame is on the poor side. So if you do that, and you read by the light, you use the light to eat by or to read by, you know, any regular activity, and the light is poor, so the natural inclination of the person would be to adjust the flame, either to tilt the candle or to readjust the wick within the oil, and in so doing, he's violating Havara on Shabbos. It's a malacha. I mean, right? He's violating an av malacha on Shabbos. So Chazal goes there that you must use for Ner Shabbos. You must use only certain types of oils and certain types of wicks because they'll produce a good flame, and a good flame you don't have to worry about adjusting. So there won't be a problem.
Having nothing to do with
Shalom Bias? No, it's not an issue of Shalom Bias. It's a siyag for an issue for not malach on Shabbos of Havara. Okay.
Uh huh.
All right. Now those oils and wicks that you're not allowed to use on Shabbos, you are allowed to use on Hanukkah, even tomorrow night, tomorrow afternoon, you know, tomorrow, whatever, tomorrow evening. So what about the problem of the fact that if you use a poor quality oil and wick, you might adjust the flame for your need? So there's no problem. Why? Because Lufisha also lishtamish le'or Hanukkah. Bein b'Shabbos, bein b'chol. Because since you're not allowed, there's an isser. You're not allowed to use the light of the Hanukkah candle at all the Hanukkah, ever. You're not allowed to utilize it. So therefore, Chazal are not worried that you might adjust it. Because why are you going to adjust the flame? You're not allowed to use it in the first place. So because you're not allowed to use the Or Hanukkah, so therefore you are allowed to use an inferior, you know, type of oil or wick. But Ner Shabbos, whose whole purpose is that you should use it, so there the Chazal are concerned and they make the siyag. Okay? And the Rav says, Lufisha also lishtamesh lor Hanukkah, right? Ben b'Shabbos ben b'chol. V'afilu livdog mos. Even, you're not even allowed to use the Or Hanukkah even to check your money, or to count your money by the light of the Hanukkah candle, even that is usur, and therefore you can use the inferior quality oil and wick. Okay, that's halacha vav. Okay, everybody with me?
Yep.
Okay. Now halacha ches. You got to skip down to halacha ches. Bimei ha-sakana. So bimei ha-sakana, when it's time of danger, and that's when the Rambam says that during the bimei ha-sakana, that's when you light inside. So meniach near Hanukkah b'soch beiso mi b'fnim, put the light inside. V'afilu enichal shulchan adayo, and you can put it. You know, you put it. It'd be bimei ha-sakana. You put it in the. You don't have to put it in the window. In fact, on the contrary, if it's bimei ha-sakana, you can't put it in the window because it's sakana. So sakana means like that the goyim. It's like the shas hashmad, you know, rampant anti-Semitism. So you put it on your table, and then that's sufficient. Okay, v'tzarech now, but since it's now inside your house, v'tzarech lios b'soch habayis ner, and the correct gyosa after that word ner is echad. You require v'tzarech lios b'soch habayis ner echad. You require in the house a candle lishtamesh la'oro to use for the light. Okay, why? Because since you're not allowed to use chayin candles for their light. So and you need, it's nighttime, you need to see what's going on. So you need another candle in the house. V'im ha'yisasham madura, eino tzarech ner acher. And if you have a torch, like a lamp, in the house, so then you do not need another candle because the torch provides the light in the house, and then that's fine. Okay. V'im adam chashavu. On the other hand, if the dweller in the house is a nobleman, he's a very important person, she'ein darko lishtamesh l'medura, apparently there was like a class of people that they were too sophisticated to read by a torch, but they were more genteel. They needed just a candle. So then, if there is a medura and it's burning in the house, that's not good enough. Then you do need another candle besides the Madura with the Hanukkah candles burning inside. Okay? Mm-hmm. Alright. The question is, I mean, I just want to start off with a basic question. What is the nature of the Isser? Why are you not allowed to, when I say why, I mean it's a halakhic why. What's the nature of the Isser to be mishtamish with the Or Hanukkah? I mean, what's the problem? Okay? Just a simple, innocent question. I want to point out that the Rambam used in the Mishnah Torah, used the phrase or the idea of an Isra of Ishtamshus in two other places. One is in Hilchos Yontif, in Perek Beis Halacha Yud Zayin. Okay? I'm not going to go through it inside now, but I'll tell you that the Rambam Shita is that on Yontif, there's an additional Isser to Shabbos, Midrabanan. There's an additional Isser called Mutzah. What we call Mutzah is not really accurate according to Shita Saraman. Muktzah is a special separate Isser Midarbanan on Yontif. So, because since Yontif has greater allowances than Shabbos, Midaraisa, so Chazal reinforced Yontif with an Isser of Muktzah. Okay? And the Rambam there says that those animals, those things which are usher to use on Yontif, you're usher l'shtamesh by him, the Yontif, so you're not allowed to be metalkal either. Okay. Whatever, it's a separate sugya. Okay? But that's the idea of Muktzah. He also mentions the Nisra of Mishtamshus in Hilchos Tefillin, Perek Daled Halacha Tes, which is the cases that a person set aside, he designated like a case or a box to store his tefillin in, and not only did he designate it, but he actually used it, so then it's also Mishtamish. You're not allowed to use that case for anything else, for anything chol, but because it has kedusha. Okay. Now, what's the nature of the Yisur Shtamshus over here with regard to Ner Chanukah? It's certainly not like Muktzah. I mean, the Muktzah is its own separate thing, having to do it. It's a gedder, it's a siyag with regard to Yontif. It's the Yisur Shtamshus of whatever you're not allowed to use on Yontif because of Muktzah is not it's a protective device with regard to kedushas Hayom of Yontif. So that really, we can't make any comparison over here. But it's very tempting to say that the second one, that tefillin, is comparable. In other words, that there's a kedusha to Ner Chanukah. There's a kedusha to the candles, and just like the nautic of tefillin, that you now also be shtamish b'avodavachol, is because the shtamshus breaks the kedusha, I wouldn't say breaks, but I mean it impinges upon the kedusha. So too over here, you're not allowed to use the Ner Chanukah because it impinges on the kedusha of the Ner Chanukah. It'd be very tempting to say that, but I think it's not true because that's a Gemara. The Gemara says it's interesting. The Gemara says the Chiner kedusha yesh bar. I mean, we'll get that Gemara in a second, but that's true, right? You have the Gemara base, I think, right? The base of an Aleph. That you have, I think it was Shmuel, who said, does Ner Chanukah have any kedusha whatsoever? I mean, that's true. It's an open Gemara, really. But you have, besides that, you have within the Rambam himself. I mean, it's a very interesting thing. If the nature of the Isser was because of kedusha, so then the Rambam's Vafilu doesn't make sense. You see, what's the Rambam's Vafilo? You're not allowed to use the Ne'er Vafilo.
Mos, Luminos,
no. Live Dog Mos. You can't use it to count or to check your money. So if the nature of the Yisra Shtamshus is because of Kedusha, so that Vafilo is to go really out of place. He should have said, Vafilo Ishtamish Bo Tashmish Mitzvah, Shal Mitzvah. Usher. You follow? Because the Rambam, in fact, does hold. Let me ask you a question. According to the Rambam, would you be allowed to learn by the light of a Chanukah candle?
No, he's not.
No, because he says, right, if you were, then he should differentiate. He should say that you'd be allowed to do such a thing. But he doesn't. It's Stimat HaLashon. He just says you're not allowed to show off the Spanish, bro. That's it. The female is Duck Mouse. But what do you call it? To read a book, to learn from a sefer by the light of the Chanukah candle would be asur. So in fact, it is asur according to the Rambam. But so if you're going to say that the nature of the Isser of Ishtamshus in general is because of kedusha, so then the vafilu should be vafilu l'ishtamsh b'tash b'shal mitzvah, and the Balamor really is the one who takes up that issue. The Balamor is on Daf Tesam and Aleph in the pages of the Rif. And Balamor brings down the whole issue of there's a sheet apparently that says that you are allowed to read Torah by the light of the candle, because the only thing that's asur would be davachol, because in other words the davachol mitzvah is mutter. The Balamor, if you check the Balamor says is open. He says, Vafilo, let me read it. Hold on a second. Yeah, he says, okay, so that, yeah, if you hold that the Isser is because of Kedusha, so then the Vafilu should be Afilu Tashmish on Mitzvah, Afilu Tashmish Shal Kedusha. You see? But the Ram doesn't say that. He says Afilu lived up mouse. Very, very strange. Very strange. Okay? So my first question is, I'd just like to understand, what's the nature of the Isser according to the Rambam? What's the nature of the Isser Shtamshus? And what's the nature of the Isser such that the Afilu lived up by mouse? You say, well, what's going on over here? Okay. Yes.
Why can't it be that counting the mouse is like less of a violation of Kedusha?
No,
what's that? Something like the Rush does, that was a mouse. Like, it's not like as much of a. It's more of a. It's like a. Really close. It's what do
they use? Tashmish Kal.
Yeah.
The Run.
Yeah.
You'll get that in a second.
The Rush is a Rush. But like, it's not a
violation
of Kedusha. So you don't have to say, first of all, that...
Well, it's hard to, just because Tashmish Kal doesn't mean it's less a violation of Kedusha. I don't see the logic of that. And the Rosh and the Ran are not coming to say that it is a problem of Kedusha, but it's not... but don't worry, this is not a violation of Kedusha.
I'm saying you could apply it.
Let's go to the Ran. The Ran wants to explain the Rambam. Okay? The Ran is also on the Daf Tesamah Aleph in the Daf Erif over there on Shabbos. So the Ran says like this. He says, it's the first wide line in the Ran. Zahadar Ma'arav, Lekaman, on Daf Tesamah Aleph, Asu Lahatas, Marus, Kinegid Ne'achanaka, Lav Lememra, Daf Katashmish, Dershus Asar, Abel Tashmish the Mitzvah Shari. He's not coming to say, when Rav in Gemara on Daf Chavdei says that you're not allowed to count your money to the light of the Chanukah candle, he doesn't mean to say that Tashmish the Rishus is Asur, but Tashmish the Mitzvah is Mutar. Because he also agrees that Tashmish the Mitzvah is Asur as well. Ela Lomar, Dafilu Ritzvi Mos, Shehu Tashmish Kal, Asur. Okay? He says, what does it mean? What's the Vafilo? Because there's a Havamina. You might think that Ritzui Maros is Mutter because it's Tashmish Kal. It's a very light activity. It's like a nothing activity. People do it, what's the other thing else? Perfunctorily. It's an offhand activity. Okay? Probably doesn't also require too much light. I mean, right, you just you do it like second nature. So you might think that such an activity is okay. You might think that such an activity is okay. Kamash more, no. Okay, that's the Vafilo. And he says, V'achim mukav b'yushalmi, chay nirin divrei ha-Rambam zal, per dal me'echos megil v'chanaka. V'zeh shalok ha-divrei ha-Zachi ha-Levi. This is not like the Balamor. Okay. But the Ran clarifies, or at least it looks like he's trying to clarify, what does the Rambam mean over here? That Vafilu, right? So, because it's Tashmish Kal. The question is, what do I care, Tashmish Kal, Tashmish Kaveid? If it's Asar, if Divrei Rishus is Asar, Divrei Kol or Asar, so that's it. The fact that it's a Tashmish Kal, it's a very light usage of the candle, so what? Who cares? But it's still the Divrei Rishus, and even Divrei Mitzvah is Asar. I mean, everything's Asar. You can't be Mishtamish. So you're going to tell me that this is not Mishtamish. It is Mishtamish, so it's a light Mishtamish. So what? So who cares? What's the problem? I mean, what's the Hava mean? I'm sorry. What's the Hava mean? Okay, that's my second question. How do you understand the Rambam through the lens of the Ran? What does the Hava mean over here? Vafilu lahatzos a lived up mouse. Well, what's going on over there? Okay? Alright. Okay. That's the second question. That's the second question. The Gemara in Shabbos that deals with the issue is also a very funny kind of Gemara. The Gemara is on Daf Chavdei Zomer Aleph. Okay? Yeah. Towards the top, okay? About 10 lines in. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. Also, Lahatos Mars Kenegan Ner Chanukah. Okay. So you're not going to count your money, using it by the light of the, check your money by the light of the Chanukah yellow. He on Risa Kamei to Shmuel, when I said this in front of Shmuel, Amar Li, so he said to me, V'chi Ner Kedushi Yesh Ba. Is it really? Is there any kind of Kedusha in the candle? So Maskif Lar of Yosef. So of Yosef, asked Akasha against Shmuel. Shmuel's objection was, what do you mean you can't count your money? Is there any Kedusha in the candle? So Rav Yosef says back to Shmuel, does the blood of an Ofer Chaya have Kedusha in it? Such, why is he mentioning that? The Sanya, because we learned in the Bible, the Shafach V'Chisa. So it's like this, it's Mitzvah Kisui Dam. When you slaughter, when you shaft an Ofer Chaya, so Allah is you have to Kisui Dam. You have to cover the blood, the Dam Ashchita, you have to cover it with the dirt. Mitzvah Daraisa. So, and the pasuk, the Braisa learns out from a juxtaposition of the words in the Torah, v'shafach v'chisa, v'mash shafach yichasa, that which you use to cover the blood, the part of you that you use to cover the blood, that you use in covering the blood, the part that you use in spilling the blood, that's the part that you use to cover the blood, namely, your hand, not your foot, okay? The shafach, so you don't use your foot to do shechita, right? You use your hand. Shelo yechasenu beregel. So that which you use to spill the blood is the same thing that you have to use to cover it, which means your hand as opposed to your foot. What does it mean? It means you shouldn't kick the dirt onto the blood, but you have to use your hands to put the dirt on top of the blood. Why? Why can't you kick the dirt on? Shelo yehu the mitzvah bezuyas olav. So in order that the mitzvah should not be degraded in your eyes, okay, because it's not covered, you kick the dirt on. So too, Hachinami, here also, you can't count your money by the light of the Chanukah candle, shelo yehu mitzvah bezuyas olav. Okay, that's why you can't use the oil of Chanukah to count your money. Okay. But, okay, so it's a strange Gemara. I mean, but I tell you, what you're walking away from this Gemara, there's a basic question to ask. And that is, and it's what bothered Duran, really, you see? Because, but he didn't really answer it. I mean, if that's the basis of the Issa of Ishtamshis, the Or Chanukah, so you should be able to learn a Sefer by the light of the Chanukah, because that's not a Bizayon. You see? If the whole basis of the Issa in Shtamshus is because of Mrs. Bezuyas Olav, so there's no Mrs. Bezuyas Olav, then if you're using it with Dvar Mitzvah, that's not Mrs. Bezuyas Olav. So that's my third question. How does this Limud in the Gemara of Rav, how does it, it's funny, I mean, it explains why you can't count money, but yet it gets you into more trouble, because if that's the basis of the Issa, so then you should be according to him, you should be allowed to count the money. And that's fine according to the Balamor, because he says, you can use the light to learn Torah by it. But according to the Rambam, according to the Ran, I mean, you have a big problem. That's the third question. Yeah, it's a funny thing. It's true. It's not a Chanukah halacha, really. It's funny. It's strange.
What's not a Chanukah halacha?
It's a general idea of Shelo yehu mitzvahs bezuyas olav. It's not something really unique to Chanukah. It's a general halacha. Treat mitzvahs as covered.
So
many things you could apply. You know, you could say it's a pick a chesed mitzvah. And say, you shouldn't kill a chauffeur.
So you're asking on the
Hello?
Somebody has their turn the mute button on. They're not muted.
Whoever just called in.
Well, what happened?
Yeah, thank you. Does this, your question you just asked, does that mean, are you asking it in terms of why the Gemara makes a big deal of the Isser Shemush in the specific case of Hanukkah? Why doesn't it just fall under the general?
It's not that it makes a big deal. I mean, listen, every halacha is a big deal. The question is, it it presents it as if it's a Hanukkah halacha, but yet it turns out that it's a general idea. Don't treat mitzvahs poorly.
Right.
Okay. But I'll review the questions. I just have one more to ask now. Okay, I'll review them in a minute. Okay. Hello?
Yeah, Rabbi Zucker?
Yeah.
Doesn't this then also, like, really bring to light what exactly was Shmuel's objection? Meaning, if Bezer and Mitzvah is such an obvious thing, clearly he knew about that. Why was he asking for Kedusha?
I understand. He said, his when he asked the Kasha, I'm just describing it now. When he asked the Kasha, his premise was that, I understand what you're asking. Okay. Well, it's the same question that Moshe just asked. In other words, I understand what you're asking. The question, I was going to say, his premise was that the Isser Stamshas could only be because of Kedusha. But that's true with regard to something unique to Ner Chanukah. But now you're asking, okay, fine, so he'll concede that point, that this is not a unique to Ner Chanukah issue, and then isn't Shmuel aware of the general idea that you shouldn't mistreat mitzvahs? That's what you're asking, right? Michael. Michael, are you there?
Sorry, I have to unmute my phone.
Good, but that's your question.
Yeah,
it's the same question. It's a corollary to what Moshe asked. Okay. Well, one last question. Okay, now I'll review the questions. Okay, the Rambam said in Halacha Ches, he said that if you light in the house, so you have to have one other candle to use its light. Okay. Yeah, and this always bugged me since I'm a kid, you know, like, the question is, what's going on over here? It's like harama. It's like a funny thing. Let's say, according to the Rambam, in a family of 10 on the 8th night of Hanukkah, okay, and you're lighting not according to Minhag Sfarad, but according to Mahadrim and Mahadrim, the other position. So how many candles are you lighting on the 8th night of Hanukkah in a family of 10 in the house?
80.
So the Barabbas is lighting 80 candles. Okay, so there are 80 candles in my living room. I feel like one more candle with Stamesh La'ora. I mean, it's like, it's a funny thing. It's like a trick, you know? Now, I'm sitting on the couch in my living room reading, and I'm not getting the light for my book from the 80. I'm getting it only from the one extra one that I lit. I mean, what's going on over here? It's like a very strange thing. And it's worse in the case of the Madura. Because in the case of the Madura, the Rambam says, you can have a Madura burning in the house, but if you're an Adam Chashuv, then you need a candle besides the Madura. But let's face it, I don't want to get into all discussion now about involving the special theory of relativity or the implications of it, whether light is a photon or whether it's a wave. But whatever you're going to say, the Madura is providing light in the room. You know, so the fact that, the Hanukkah candles are providing light in the room. All that's no good. I have to make sure to light another candle. I mean, it's like harama. What's going on over here? Okay? What's so funny?
No.
All right. You should let the Maggid Shear in on the joke.
Ready? That's
how you
hold by the wave theory.
Oh, you hold by the wave theory. It's full of kasha anyway, it doesn't matter. Alright. Alright, so the four questions are like this. The first question is, what's the nature of the Yisra Ishtamshas altogether? It's not Kedusha, according to the Rambam. Balmor it is, but not according to the Rambam. The second question is, what's Vafilu Livdog Maus? Because it's Tashmish Kal, so what? The third question is that, how does Beasley Mitzvah fit into the whole Isser? And the fourth question is, what's doing with the seeming Harama in terms of the Shamish? The Ner Echad or the Ner Acher. Alright. So let's start off. You have to understand, the basic whole theme of this shiur is the Isser Shtamshas. I mean, what's going on with the Isser Shtamshas? So the sugya, and the Gemara discusses on Chafara from the base. And it is a very fascinating Rashi. Rashi is on the top line. Rashi says like this: also lishtamish ba'ora, you're not allowed to use the candle of the or of Ner Chanukah. Why? She a nikah shehu ner mitzvah. You're not allowed to use it because it has to be a heker that it's ner mitzvah. The letter lemeichish la'ataya. Now, the Pshat and the Rashi, it's absolutely the Pshat and the Rashi, it means like this, that since there's an Isser of Hishtamshus, of the Ner Chanukah, because of the need for Heker, you need to make a Heker that's Ner Mitzvah, as opposed to just stop a candle, and what differentiates the two is the Isser Hishtamshus. Once you have the Isser Hishtamshus, then you don't have to worry about using an inferior oil and wick on Friday because there's Lekha L'meichesh L'Atoya, because you don't have to worry about the person tilting the lamp, tilting the candle, because you're not allowed to use it anyway. That's the Pshat Narashi. That's correct. That's true. But I have to tell you, I mean, when I saw the Rashi, it made me think of something else, and I'll present it to you as a possibility. All right, I want to say like this. The first thing, it's clear that if you say that there's an Isser Hishtamshus for Or Chanukah, it's because, like Rashi says, because you have to differentiate between a regular candle and Ner Mitzvah. Okay? I'd like to posit now that Chazal came up with a shear of differentiation between Ner Chanukah and what I'll call Ner Ragil, or Stam Ner. Okay? And what is the shear? What does it mean? So I think it means like this. what's the definition, or what's the characteristic of a regular candle? The characteristic of a regular candle, I'm going to posit, is that a regular candle, its entire existence is to serve the need of the person. It lights up his house, so he can read, he can see where he's walking, he can eat by it. It serves his needs. Okay. As opposed to the Ner Mitzvah, which the characteristic of the Ner Mitzvah, when I say Ner Mitzvah, I mean Ner Chanukah, yeah? The characteristic of Ner Chanukah is a candle that is not designed to serve man's needs, but the candle stands as an entity unto itself. The candle is not subservient to man, it stands by itself. Okay? Alright. So what I want to say now is like this. The shear to differentiate between those two is, the shear is hataya. In other words, if the candle is subject to hataya, Hataya means that the person will adjust the flame, or he can adjust the flame. That idea is the characteristic, is the mark of a candle that is designed to serve the person's need. Such a candle is stam ner, and that lacks heker, and therefore it can't be Ner Chanukah. You see? Ner Chanukah is a candle which can't be subject to Hataya. It can't be subject to man bending the wick or adjusting the flame, because the candle must stand unto itself. Okay. Hold the thought for a second.
Can I ask you a question?
Okay.
I don't have to.
All right, just wait 1 minute, because I think I know what's bothering you, and I think I can clear it up.
Okay.
Right?
Thank you.
I'm going to posit my theory. I'm going to give you an analogy, and then if my analogy doesn't clarify your question, I'll be glad to try to answer. Okay. But my theory is like this, that that Stam Ne'er is a Ne'er which is designated for the use of the person, and Ne'er Mitzvah is a candle that's existence stands unto itself. Okay. The Shear, to differentiate between those two, is a candle which is subject to man's adjustment. Okay. Now, what if I have a candle? What if I have a candle which whose existence is independent? It does exist independently. Okay, so the candle exists as a thing unto itself. Can I then take advantage of the existence of that candle whose existence stands unto itself? Can I take advantage of it for a use without compromising the existence of that candle? The Habamina is yes. Let me give you an analogy because I think that's the easiest way to, you know, to sort of clarify the issue. If I tell you that we're going to go into the park and we're going to erect an umbrella in the middle of the park, and the role of the umbrella is to protect us, to provide shade for us from the sun. So we go into the park and we put up an umbrella. The nature of that umbrella is to serve us by providing shade. That's what it is. Okay, that's scenario one. Scenario two. Let's say I say to you, you know what? We're going to go into the park and we're going to erect a statue in honor of the president. Maybe not a very popular thing to say these days, but we're going to erect a statue in honor of the president. Okay. The existence, the nature of existence of the statue in the park is an honor to the president. Good. So the statue is up in the park. I am admiring the statue in honor of the president. It's a sunny day. So I walk over to the shadow that the statue casts. Okay? When I do that, do I render the statue into an umbrella?
No.
No. It retains its existence as a statue, but I am making use of something that has an independent existence as a statue, and I'm taking advantage of it. I'm using it. But it's still a statue. You see? So what I want to say now is like this. With regard to Ner Chanukah, the halakha is like this. If you have a candle where it's mutter lishtamish la'ora, in any way you like, so then what I call the idea before, the shear of subject to Ataya. And when I say subject to Ataya, I don't only mean an inferior oil or inferior wick. I mean, in other words, that the candle is, it's subject to Ataya. It means its use is totally under my domain, my control. So such a candle, that is the character of Stam Ne'er. That's what Stam Ne'er is. You see, that's not a Chanukah candle because it lacks in Heker. But let's say I have a candle that does have an independent existence as a candle. Why? Because it's not subject to Hataya. In other words, I can't use it for anything that I want. But for Tashmish Kal, but for something which is a perfunctory act, which does not require a great amount of light. So if I encounter a candle that does have an independent existence, can I at that point, here's the Habamina Maskana, can I at that point take advantage of the independently existing candle for a perfunctory use? And the Habamina says yes, because I'm not violating the candle because the candle retains an independent existence. The Maskana says no. I'll try to explain the Maskana in a second. Okay, who had the question? Ellie?
Yeah. I have a different question now.
Okay.
But are you saying that you wouldn't do Ataya for counting money?
That's right.
Okay.
There's Tashmish Kal means that the activity is it's a perfunctory activity, and it requires a minimal light.
Therefore, it's below that share.
That's right.
Is it also do a Atalya for Hanukkah? Like, there is no answer to adjust the light of a Hanukkah candle.
It is, well, what do you mean?
Let's say I want to be brighter so more people can see it. I can
no, that's not Atalya. Atalya means for your use. It's not the it's not a Maisa Atalya that's the problem. Atalya means to adjust it to suit your need. If you're right, then for sure you shouldn't be allowed to use any of the inferior oils because we possibly can. I mean, but if you were correct, so because there's always Shema Yata, because maybe the person will want to make a brighter flame for people to see. That's not what Atalya means.
Is it gone?
Yeah.
What's bothering me is that the shear is when you do Atalya. But Atalya is only something that you do for a poor...
I know, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying it's not... I'm using it I'm using that as a description of the candle is subject to your complete domain, your complete control. I don't mean literally that he's going to adjust the flame. I don't mean that. I mean that if a person... It's a use where the person would adjust, or could adjust the flame, should adjust the flame. In other words, it's not, you're right, well, what happens if I have a really bright candle? So I'm never going to adjust the flame.
Right.
That's not what I mean. It's a shear. It's not a...
But is that really the shear, or are you just saying that to clarify what you mean?
Yeah, I'm saying it to clarify what I mean.
But it's not really the shear.
It's not the definition of the shear.
The definition of the shear is under your dominion. Totally.
That's correct.
Rabbi Zucker?
Yeah.
This results in a strange formulation, because then what you're saying is that once this thing is not able to be touched, that I can't readjust it, then it has been established as a thing that I don't use. So then what happens? Then I'm able to use it.
Well, let me put it this way. Once it's usher... No, it's a little deceptive the way you presented it. The issue is that you can't use this candle. You can't use this candle in such a way that the candle is subject to your complete control. In other words, the candle has to have a characteristic, I mean, I'll say it negatively and positively, the candle has to have a characteristic of an independent existence. Negatively would be, the candle can't be subject to your whim, you know, of control, of adjustment. So that means any kind of tashmish, which is the regular normal use of a candle that a person would adjust. That's why I keep on coming back to the, you know, like what he would do, you know, that he would adjust it to read by it, or he would adjust it to eat by it, or those functions that the person uses the candle for is a reflection of the idea, is reflective of the idea that the candle is subservient to the person. It's nothing more than a tool of Tashmish Adam. But over here, it exists independently. Now, once it exists independently, like I said before, if I stand in the shadow of the statue, does it make the statue into an umbrella? It's a statue. You see? So, but I can take advantage of this. You know, I can take advantage of the statue in a light usage, so to speak. And again, I'm using a descriptive term over here. In a light usage, I'll take advantage of an independent existence. You know, I'll take advantage of it. But that doesn't change the character of the thing.
So I mean, like, the core of your answer is that don't look at using as an actual problem, but rather the independent existence.
That's right.
Okay, I see.
Okay?
Why should it matter if it's a Tashmish collar or not? Like, once the statue is up and it's its own thing, so now, let's say I wanted to, lean on it or something. It wouldn't make it into a chair because I just decided to lean on it. But, like, who cares if it's Tashmish Kala or not? It's still going to be a statue.
No, well, that's not true. Let's say I take the statue, you know, I move the statue to hold up a roof. So then it's not a statue anymore, it's a wall.
If you move it, you take it out.
In other words, there are going to be usages of the thing that pervert or that convert the, you know, the identity of what it is. So a usage which allows the thing to remain intact, but I'm just taking advantage of that intact, independent existence, that's okay, according to Avamina. But according to Maskana, but something which actually converts the identity of the object because functionally it's defined by a function, and I am now using it in a functional way that converts its identity into something else. That's a problem.
Right, but maybe this could be what you're saying. But like, are you like saying like a tashmish, like kal is one that you wouldn't do a talia for, and a regular tash is something you would do a talia for?
That's what I'm saying.
So you mean like a regular tashmish, you will change the candle in order to service?
Exactly. Right. It's a reflect. This is what Ellie was asking me before. I mean, it's a reflection. Shemayata is a reflection of what is considered, what would be considered, you know, like a serious usage, where the usage means that the candle is functioning to be, its identity is that it's under my control, it's a near amishareis, you know, versus an independent existence that I'm just taking advantage through Tashmish Kala of that independent existence.
Right.
Follow?
Yeah.
All right.
Rabbi Zucker?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you can go this far, but I mean, I hear the svara for the Havmina. What does the Maskana have going for us? Just yes, no?
Yeah, well, no. David, I got to tell you, you were 100% right. We definitely should have started earlier because I'm not going to get through really all the stuff, but I'll tell you like this. I'll tell you two things. The idea. I have to point out a very, very important point over here. This is not a halacha in the chetza itself. What I mean by that is, let's say a person were to use the tashmish kaved. He's still yotzei the mitzvah. There, no one says that if a person uses the ner Chanukah, you know, for tashmish kaved, that he's not yotzei. No one says such a thing. It's asur. But no one says that, and if you do, then you aren't yotzei at the light again. No one says such a thing. So I just want to point out that all of this is not a din in the chest itself. It's a halacha in how the gavra relates to the candle.
Why would those two have to go together? Couldn't it be a din in the chest as you still be yotzei?
Well, if you could tell me that it's not in the chanukah anymore, then how are you going to be yotzei?
You're saying it would just lose its status. Oh, okay, yeah, I misunderstood.
Okay. So it's a question of how the gavra relates to the candle. You see?
Why aren't you yotzei just because you lit it?
Say it again?
Why aren't you yotzei just because you lit it, even if you would change it?
Right,
halakha is the mitzvah, or whatever. It comes to zakakla, you see, you know?
Let me ask a question. Let's, that's a good question. So I'll respond with an achronish formulation. Let's say you use the candle the moment that you lit it. Simultaneous to the lighting, you're using it.
Okay.
Nobody says that.
Why do you depend on these
things? Well, it's all simultaneous.
You're saying kind of like a look at it.
In other words, the minute I used the match that I lit to light the candle already, I was using also at the same time to read a book.
Rabbi Zucker?
Yeah.
That doesn't necessarily seem to be the case, because they put up another candle. Meaning, let's say we hold by the one that you can use the same the candle to light another Ner Mitzvah. So then the candles that exist, only Ner Mitzvah. So at the time of the lighting, this wouldn't even solve that problem, because there wouldn't be a shamash. According to you, then, it would seem that you have to light the shamash beforehand.
I don't follow you, Zach.
I'm saying, it does make sense within the halachos that it could be a setup that the candles have no shamash to them, at their inception.
What if someone from the outside comes in and inspects them? It's not fair to people from the outside.
Yeah, this is...
Everybody down?
No.
No. What?
Do we
have power?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We don't have power.
Yeah, it was the only one that was going to happen.
Why?
All the feet around
there. Can we just need a bridge?
I don't know. Here.
Okay, give me the,
hang up on
4805.
Welcome to Eagle Talk.
Hey, Rabbi Zucker?
Yeah.
We cut out there for a minute.
What's that?
We cut out for a minute, sorry.
It's the moment that I light the candle. It's a theoretical, it's a thought experiment. It's the moment that who you saw. The moment that the instant that I lit the candle, I benefited immediately from its light in a Tashmish Kaveh way. So you can tell me I'm not Yotzei. That's not true. I mean, it's especially not true. Alright, listen, we got the 7 minutes left.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
If it's okay with you, we'd prefer to just do the share.
Oh, my God,
but what about the Field of Tzibur?
Well, we have a minion.
Yeah, but what about the outsiders?
Then you can break and come back if you want. You want to break from Ireland and come back? What do you want to do?
Is that alright with you?
Yeah.
I mean, if it's okay with you, I mean...
Yeah. Somebody would need to call me so that I know when to call back.
Okay. No, we'll make it up by now. It's finished by 10:15, right?
Yeah.
Well, we don't have to stop yet.
I understand, but I'm saying you finished at 10:15, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so we'll break at 10 and we'll resume at 10:15.
Okay.
Okay.
So, Robbie, did you answer my question as to what the Muscana is going for yet, or...
What
the Muscana has going for yet? Are we going to get back?
I'm just pointing out. I took one step.
Okay.
That this is not halacha in the chatzah. It's halacha in the gavra's relationship to the candle. In other words, the person has to view it
as
independent existence. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That gives us at least anyway the tool. To answer your question, because then the issue is now, it's a shia then, in what does it mean that the gavra, you know, relates to the candle in a certain way? You say, does it mean that the candle, that it's enough if the candle has an independent existence, which is measured by Tashmish Kal versus Tashmish Kaved? Or does it mean that the gavra must be completely removed from any function whatsoever of the candle? I know I'm being a little descriptive, but that's the basis of the area. You see, you understand what I'm saying?
Why would you say the second one?
Why would you say the second one? I don't know. I'm not a philosopher.
What would be the... you just explained the obvious, it was a good distinction.
I'm saying that there is a distinction. There are different degrees that you can conceive of. Chazal would say that the person has to be the person, how he relates to this candle in terms of function. That the does the candle have to be in his eyes an independent existence? If that's the case, then so that's the Havamina. It is an independent existence, right? Or does it mean that the gavra has to be completely mufresh from using this candle?
Rabbi Zucker?
Yeah.
At this point, how are you explaining what the nature of the Isser is? Is it bizoid?
No, I didn't explain that yet.
Okay.
One thing is that, and this is what Rashi, it's Rashi, this is the hecker, right? You need a hecker. It means that you have to differentiate the candle, the ner mitzvah, from a stam ner. That's the nature of the issue so far.
But why you have to, or whatever, isn't...
That I really could answer right now. That, because the halach, we'll start off with this point. The essence of ner Chanukah is Tersumei Nisa. Okay?
Yeah.
And even though the Rambam, all the Rambams have the wrong Gersa, it's a funny thing. If you take a look at Halacha Teret Gimel, Halacha Gimel. So Mibneze is Kima Chachamim Shebaos Ador, Sheyu Shmarash Yamim Ha'ilu Shez Chilasom Megleo Chamish Shevesim B'Kislev, Yimei Simcha V'Halel, Madlikim Ba'na Neiros, Ba'erev, Al Pischei Abatim, B'chol Laila V'Laila Nishmaras Ha'Leilos. What's the next word?
V'Yamim?
Laharas.
Yeah, okay, it's V'Yamim. So, yeah, so L'Haras L'Gahos Ha'Neis, the Rambam never wrote those words. But nevertheless, it is Pesumei Nisa, you see clearly from Halach, from Ter Dalet Halach Yud Beis.
Rambam never wrote those words that you have in your edition.
Okay? Al Ter Dalet Yud Beis. Mitzvah Sneh Chanukah Chaviv, Mitzvah Chaviv Yad Ma'od. The Tzarek Adam Lizayah Ba Kedei Lo Dianes.
You went too fast.
Okay? You have Ter Dalet Halach Yud Beis.
What happened to Halach Gimel?
What?
Gimel.
What? Gimel doesn't have the phrase Kedei Lahalos or Lagalos Anais.
Just a period.
It's a typo.
You mean you're saying Ram never says that's for Suminis anywhere?
No, he doesn't.
No, it's in Yud Beis, it's Dalet.
Oh, that's right.
It's in Dalet Yud Beis. I'm just pointing out that in case there are guys who actually do have a correct version of the Rambam in front of them, shouldn't they object to me and say, well, who says it's for Suminisa? The Rambam never said Lahalos Lagalos Anais. But he does say it later on. He says it in Per Dalet Halacha Yud Beis. You see it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So therefore.
So since the mitzvah is Pirsumei Nisa, that's why you must have a heker. Because if you don't have a heker, so then the candle is no different from any candle. It's a candle, it's not a candle. So if that's true, if there's no heker, so then where's the Pesumei Nisa? It is like this. You know, the Gemara is a very interesting case. You have the Gemara is a case of Ashashis. You come across that. You have a lantern that you keep on your porch, on your front doorstep. So the Gemara, and it's lit, and you light it, and it's like a 24-hour, it's got a lot of fuel, right? So you light it yesterday. So, and it burns for a long time. Right? And that's your light, that's your porch light. So what do you do with regard to Chanukah? So the Gemara, you blow it out, and you make a bracha, and you relight it. So what does that mean? It means that, and you don't need a Gemara for this. I mean, it's an obvious thing. Now go back to the days of pre-electricity. So people had a light on their porch, on their front door, to be able to see to get into the house. People had in the B'shas HaSakana. People lit a light in the kitchen, in the living room, the dining room, to be able to see. So what differentiates? So for 354 days a year, that's the lunar year, you have a candle burning in your. In your dining room. Every night of the year, you have a candle. Now, for 8 nights, it happens to be that's going to be a Ner Chanukah. What makes it a Ner Chanukah? Nothing. You lit a candle. Same candle you lit last month. Same candle you're going to light 3 months from now. So, well, that's what Rashi says. You need a heker that is Ner Mitzvah. What do you mean? What does it mean you need a heker? Because if the candle is Pesumei Nisa, so Pesumei Nisa demands that the candle has to be differentiated from a regular candle. What differentiates this candle from a regular candle? It's not substantively differentiated. It's not even positionally differentiated. Because people have lights on their front door, by their front door, like we do today. So what makes it Ner Chanukah? What makes it Ner Chanukah? Isur Shtamshus.
So why is in Lady Kuva?
We'll continue at 10:15.
We'll continue at 10:15, okay?
Okay.
I'm going to hang up and I'll call back in.
Alright.
Okay.
So why isn't it Likuva?
Excellent question.
What's Likuva?
Also, the Gemara You know the Gemara where it's if you're holding the Ner Chanukah when you light it. So it says it's also a klum because the row would say it's Lutzarko Dadlika, you know? So it sounds like that's the simultaneous case. You know, which the Gemara says loss of a klum.
Well, that's something like that Moshe just pointed out, you know, during the break here, that the heker, I mean, Rashi clearly says that the Isser Shtamshis is because of heker. But the heker, this, you know, I really need to think about, you know, but the heker is clearly not a heker for the guy out on the street.
Right, he's not going to notice.
Right, because he doesn't know what you are using it, you're not using it. The only thing that you can say is that the heker is that if everybody knows that, you know, that you don't use this candle for anything else, then so it's the knowledge that people have becomes, you know, part of the heker. But in terms of the tzura, the fact that there's an Isser Shtamshis doesn't change the tzura of the candle. As opposed to the guy who's holding it, the tzura of the thing itself, you know, lacks in terms of Pearson. I have to think about what. You understand the difference?
Yes, but then what's the Isser to you?
Okay, I heard that's the first question.
Yes.
I'll answer it. I mean, I'll get to it. It's coming up. Okay?
Yeah.
Yep.
On that Rashi.
Yeah.
Is Shabbos candles a mitzvah?
That's what he's talking about. He's talking about Ner Chanukah, because he's for sure not talking about Shabbos candles, because he says V'lecha L'meicha Shlataya. V'lecha L'meicha Shlataya is not, it doesn't apply to Ner Shabbos.
No, I understand that, but the fact that you don't utilize it, how does that make it nicker? In other words, because on Shabbos
candles... I just said, that's something I need to think about, because that was Moshe's question. The guy out on the street is watching it, he doesn't know whether you are using it or not using it.
No,
that's your question, right?
No.
What?
No, that's not my question.
Okay, so then I don't understand the question.
Rashi says that it's a mitzvah because he didn't utilize it.
Correct.
But every candle is not that way. Because you have a Ner Mitzvah, Ner Shabbos that you do utilize.
The Ner Shabbos is a regular candle.
He means that it's Ner Chanukah.
Oh, the Rashi means. But how does Shabbos candles become a mitzvah?
I don't understand. What's bothering you? Are you bothered by the fact that Rashi says Ner Mitzvah? Ner Mitzvah is talking about, it's not, the Isser Shtamshis isn't because it is a mitzvah. Because it's this mitzvah.
Rabbi?
Yeah. Do we say what visa mitzvah has to do with the question?
Talk
about
that right now. Okay.
Okay. So right now, with what we said right up until now, you have as follows: what's clear, I think, and you tell me if I'm mistaken, is the Rambam's Vafilu lived up Maus Usser. Because, in other words, like this, why did he say Vafilu lived up Maus? Why didn't he say Vafilu lishtamesh bo tashmesh al kedusha, tashmesh al mitzvah? So the answer is like this, because the essential nature of the Isser Shtamshus is not kedusha. If the nature of the Isser Shtamshus was kedusha, so then you're right. Then you should say Vafilu tashmesh al mitzvah. But the character of the Isser Shtamshis is because of the idea of the Gavra relating to the candle not as a Stam Ner, but as a Ner Chanukah. And what does that mean? It means that you should relate to it as a candle that has its own significance, its own existence, and not a Ner HaMashoris. You see? So with regard to that, there you could have a Hamamina and say, okay, I'll say that the shiur of producing a Ner that has its own independent existence, or the way I relate to a Ner as if it had its own independent existence, was the shiur of Hataya. So I produced a Ner that's not subject to Hataya. Now, once it exists, let me take advantage of it. Kamash Malon, no. Vafilu lived up by En Mos. Okay, so that answers the second question that we had. Is that clear?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what's Bizui Mitzvah? Okay. What's Bizui Mitzvah? So the answer is like this. You see, Bizui, you have to understand, the sugya is not describing the yisod of the iser of Asur L'Ishtamesh. In other words, the yisod of Asur L'Ishtamesh is not Bizui Mitzvah, per se. Okay? But what it means like this. It means as follows. If this is, David, you were asking about the maskana, you know, so it means like this. It means that within the idea of the gavra relating to the candle as an independent existence, as a separate existence, not in their amishores, so you could have said that the shir is hataya, Once you have a candle of a shir that's not subject to Atalia, so then it's a separate independent existence, and now I could take advantage of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Mash Malon, you can't because of Bizui. Now, what does it mean, Bizui? What does that mean, Bizui, over here? You see, there's a fundamental difference between Bizui of, what do you call it, Bakisi Adam, and over here. Because by Kisi Adam, the Bizui is a negative. It means you're treating it as if it's disgusting. But the Rambam says at the end of Zilchos Shchita. Just give me a second. He says. So that's a degrading activity. You see? Reading by the light is not a degrading activity. But what does it mean, Bizui Mitzvah? What does it mean? So Bizui Mitzvah means that the mitzvah, he's relating to the mitzvah as a profane object. There's degrees within Bizui. Bizui could mean it's degrading, like it's disgusting, it's fat, or it means that it doesn't have the proper... He's not relating to it in the proper framework, that the mitzvah demands. So over here, what he's saying is like this. You might have thought, and there's a good logical reason to think, that if I relate to this mitzvah as a chetzah unto itself, but once it exists, I could use this. Okay, there's a good spot to say that, right? But the answer is no. You kamash malon that you can't because of Bizui Mitzvah. What does it mean? It means you can't relate to this mitzvah in any kind of personal usage because that takes away from the character of what the mitzvah is supposed to be. You have to be, like I said before, I mean, it's still a little descriptive. I mean, it's true. I recognize that it's a little descriptive. But you have to be, the person has to be completely mufrash min ha-mitzvah. And if he's not... If he relates to it in any kind of profane way, so that's a problem. See? But it's a problem in the mitzvah, in Ner Chanukah. It's a problem in Ner Chanukah. You understand what I'm saying?
So why make recourse to Bizui Mitzvah?
No, because Bizui... See, what I'm saying is that the term Bizui is a relative term. Let me say it this way. There's an absolute and a relative. In other words, Bizui means... That I mistreat the mitzvah. I can mistreat something because I do something which is objectively disgusting, or I'm mistreating the mitzvah because I'm not treating it the way that that within the parameter of this mitzvah itself, it belongs to be treated, even though objectively the act itself is not a bizayon. See, kicking something is objectively a bizayon. Unless it's a soccer ball. See? Kicking dirt onto blood is itself, objectively, it's a negative thing. You see, it's like, I don't want to do it. Like, you kick it. I mean, it's beita. It's a degrading act. But you're not going to tell me that reading by the light of a candle is objectively a degrading act. What makes it a bizui is that the mitzvah demands a complete hafrasha, and I'm making use of something that it does stand up to itself. It's true, but I'm making use of it nevertheless. I'm taking advantage of it. That also is a problem.
So it is an Isser Bizoi, it's just a relative Isser Bizoi.
So it's exactly, it's a relative Bizoi. There's two degrees over here. The point is like this, you have to relate to this, you have to view this in terms of degrees. There's one degree, there's three degrees. Well, one is that you completely mistreat the candle, you treat the candle like every other candle in your entire house. Okay, that's a problem. Okay? Then you have the idea of, okay, I recognize the independent existence of this candle. That's the shiur of Atayah. But once that exists, I do make use of the candle, I do take advantage of its existence.
What was the first one?
First one is one that we haven't considered yet. That I use the candle for whatever I want.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's no good. That's a problem, right? The second one is that I treat the candle as an independent existence. Correct. That's the shir atayah. But once it exists independently, I take advantage of it to do kashmish kal. Okay, Havnir says that's fine. The maskana says, no, you can't do that because you're relating to it in a profane manner. And the maskana is the gavra has to be completely mufresh from the candle.
The question is, could construe that case, the maskana case,
right,
to say that because of this nature of the mitzvah, it becomes a relative bigayon, and now it's a problem.
Right.
Or is the relative problem like a problem in Ner Chanukah?
Right.
From the first or the
second?
So why do you call it the bizui mitzvah?
No, but the bizui mitzvah he means over here, bizui mitzvah means a profanation of the mitzvah.
So
it's analogous. It's an analogy, but it's not. That's what I'm saying. One is relative. One is absolute.
That's my whole point.
All right, guys, are you in here? Yeah.
What's the raya from kisu adam if it's a different kind of bizui? This is a bizui which is implicit in mitzvahs chanukah as opposed to like a generic objective.
I know. You're right. I mean, I just mentioned to Moshe. You're right. What you're saying is correct. He's using the idea of bizui. He's using the idea. Actually, before I answer your question, you're making a very good point, Yaakov. I'm just saying like this. I'll just notice a fact. Okay. The Rambam learned this Gemara. The Rambam learned the Gemara about the Brisa, I mean, with regard to Kisui Adam. And the Rambam brought that halacha down at the end of Hilchos Shechita, where he openly says Bizui Mitzvah. And over here, when I learned through the Sugi, go to the Rishonim, you'll see nobody says, you know, and you can't use the thing, I feel the Hatzos Maros, because of the same principle of Bizui Mitzvah. It's an analogy. The analogy is that the gavra has to relate to this to this activity in a certain way. And you're right with regard to Kisui Adam, it's because of the generic idea of mitzvahs in general. And the Rambam makes that point at the end of the Hoshchita. Over here, it's that the gavra has to relate to this mitzvah because of its nature in particular. And not doing so would be profaning, not mitzvahs in general, but would be profaning this mitzvah. You're right, it's an analogy. It's not an exact analogy.
Zucker?
Yeah.
But like, if when you analyze like near Hanukkah, like the relationship the Gavra has to have to it is only like that he could use a Tashmish Kal, but not a regular Tashmish. Like that's when you just analyze these like the God relationship to Ner Chanukah.
Right.
So there seems to be nothing wrong with him using it for Tashmish Kal.
In the Havamina, that's correct.
No, but, yes, I don't see... So
this is the Maskana. The Maskana is, I want to say it like this, the Maskana is that the Gavra has to be completely mufrash from the candle altogether.
But that's not the appropriate way to treat Ner Hanukkah. The appropriate way is you to use the Tashmish Kal, there's nothing wrong with it.
I think the Gemara disagrees with you. What do you mean that's not the way to treat Ner Hanukkah?
Yeah, but if Ner Hanukkah demands that you're mufresh completely from it, so you don't need to bring me a raya from using a mitzvah, make an analogy, then the nature of Ner Hanukkah itself demands that you don't use the Tashmish Kal.
That's correct. And what I'm saying is that Rav Yosef made use of the example of Bizui to illustrate that point.
He's illustrating that there's a phenomenon of how the Gavra is relating to the mitzvah. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
That was the framework of the Isser Tashmish to begin with, though, no?
In terms of the mitzvah.
I missed the last thing.
That was like the original framework of the Isser Tashmish, I thought. Is that what we said originally? Like the Isser Tashmish was how the Gavra relates to the Ner Hanukkah?
The Havamina?
Yeah. But you weren't saying that necessarily.
I'm saying like this. The answer to the Mishtamish Lohan Hanukkah is that you need a hecher, like Rashi says. What does it mean? It means that you have to differentiate this candle from a regular stump candle. What's the character of a regular stump candle? Is that it serves man's need. This candle has its own independent standing existence. Good. Now the issue is like this. So the Havamina says, well, it has its own independent standing existence with the Shira Hataya. Okay, but let's say I produce such a candle, now can I take advantage of that candle for Tashmish Kal? The Havamina said, yes, I can. The Maskana says that Ner Hanukkah demands a further, you know, distance, a further removal of the, you know, the Gavra's usage of the candle. That is to say that any usage is problematic. And it did, and it illustrated the point, the use of an analogy to Bizui Mitzvah. Yeah.
According to the Havamina, would you also need the analogy to Bizui Mitzvah? Like, what would be the problem without Bizui Mitzvah?
Well, for not Tashmish Kal?
Yes.
No, you would not make use of such a thing. You first have to posit the idea of an independently existing candle.
But isn't that also like an Isser in the Gavra?
That's yes. Right.
So what does that Isser stem from?
Well, in other words, there, that's why I keep on saying, there's 2 degrees over here.
But it's degrees within the idea of Bizui, no?
What?
It's degrees within the idea of Bizui, no?
There's 2 degrees within the idea of relating to the to a candle as a separate existence and not a candle which is subservient to man.
But that whole area is because of Bizui, isn't it?
Well, it's because of Hecker, it's because of Pirsumei Nisa.
Well, the Pirsumei Nisa will take place anyways, it's just how you relate to it.
I don't know what you mean.
You said the chafza is really
right?
Person. It's just you can't treat it in a certain
way. Right, the chafza is the chafza.
So just how you treat it. Now who cares how you treat it? So don't you need to make recourse to the dam thing to show that it matters how you treat a mitzvah? You can't just treat a mitzvah.
No. The way to do Rashi's hekar. In other words, it's not. The Bizui is within the framework of hekar. It's not. This isn't Bizui. Mitzvah, just because it's a mitzvah.
But what's the halacha of Hecker? What's the source of that halacha?
Pesumei Nisa.
What? Pesumei Nisa? What is there more to Pesumei Nisa than the chatza?
I don't think what's bothering
you. Because you do the Pesumei Nisa, so who cares that you're using it?
If you don't have this Hecker, so then you're lighting a candle. Like
you're
did 2 months ago, you're lighting a candle.
But you're not, because it's a chatzah of Pesumei Nisa.
What's that?
It's a chatzah of Pesumei Nisa. And the Roa, to the Roa, it's Pesumei Nisa. You're doing a mitzvah of Pesumei Nisa.
What's the Pesumei Nisa? It's the same porch light that I lit every night of the year.
Because the Roa doesn't know that you use. In terms of the Roa, it's the same thing.
What do you mean? I have the same torch light lit 354 nights a year.
Okay, and if I'm not using it, then how does the Rebbe know that it's different?
Okay, that's a good question. I said before that it's a good question. It bears thought. It bears investigation. Whatever the answer to the question is, Rashi definitely says openly that the Issur Hishtamshus creates a Heker. So Heker means it's recognizable that it is a different candle. So however that works, either because everybody knows, and you can speculate over it, everybody knows that there's an Issur Hishtamshus, however it works, I don't know. But, it bears thought. But it definitely is a Heker. Follow?
Yeah, but you're saying the Heker is not a din in the Chafta, though.
That's not the Ake of the Mitzvah.
Could it still be din in the Chafta, but not Bili Kuva?
What do you mean by that?
Like, it could be a Keem of, like, it's not a Keem of Pearson, that it's Nick or Nicole, that it's a candle of Pearson.
You could say that. You could definitely say that. Alright, let's think about it. The truth is, after I get to the end of the area, your question might be answered. But let's think about it.
Okay.
The next thing is the Shamash, right? How does the Shamash help? So again, Rashi really comes to the rescue, because if you take a look at the Rashi on Chafala from the base, towards the bottom, he says, Tzarech Ner Acheres.
Yep.
The Elo, Lo Havi Heker. Rashi says that the existence of the additional mare is for Heker. So what does it mean? It means it's not that the Shah, it's not Haram, it's not like you're saying, you're sitting there and you're saying, hey, Rabbi Zucker. Yes.
I just don't understand, because that's Rashi. The Rome doesn't have to talk like that.
Okay, well, just one second. Okay.
What is this, Rashi?
Rashi says like this. The Elo, Lo Havi Heker, means as follows. It doesn't mean that the person puts a shamash in the room with 80 candles and he's using the light from the one candle but not the 80 to be able to read. That's an absurdity. It just doesn't make any sense. But the idea, but the fact that there's another candle in the room means that the person, and again, you can either say how the Gavra relates to it, or like Zimmer said that, you know, it's the Chesed but not Likuva, any way you want to formulate it. It winds up being the same thing, but the existence of the extra candle is a Heker. Rashi says, is a Heker. What does it mean? It means that putting another candle in the room, in terms of how the person relates to those, to the Chagga candles, so there's a barrier. In other words, there's something else that if the Chagga candles weren't there, he would have something else. Now they are there, that's true, but the fact that there's an additional candle, the Shamash, there, means that he's relating to them. They are a separate existence. I have my candle here anyway. The fact that they're adding light, it's definitely easier to read, it's a brighter read, whatever, but he's relating differently to those candles. He's relating to them as independent existences because he set up something else that one of those other candles not there, he would still have his candle to read by. And that explains the Madura case.
Wait, wouldn't that only help you in the Havamina? How would that help you in the Maskana?
No, what do you mean?
Because the whole thing in the Maskana is that the Gavra has to have...
No, because he's not... It's not a question of... He's not taking advantage of those... He's not saying, let me take advantage of those candles. The fact that he put up another candle, the fact that there's a Madura there or another candle there, means those candles have their own independent existence. I'm not relating to them at all. I set up... If those candles weren't here, I would have the light that I need to read from.
Right, so you're saying, since that's the case, even though he is getting shimut from the Hanukkah Neros, it doesn't matter?
He's exactly right. He's not relating to them the Torah Shemush.
Because otherwise he'd say the guy has to leave his house or whatever.
Hold on, what?
Otherwise, he'd say he has to leave his house. If he wants to read there, what's he supposed to do?
Say it again, I'm sorry.
Otherwise, he'd say he has to leave the place. But
exactly, otherwise he'd say he has to get out.
Right, but he doesn't have to get out. He's just lighting a candle, and they happen to be there.
And that explains the Madura. Because in the case of the Madura, it goes by what the Gavra relates to. So if he's an Adam Chashuv, so he doesn't relate to the Madura as being a source of light for him. Even though in the Tzius it provides light, but he's not relating to it that way, so therefore it's not a sufficient Heker. So he has to have a Nair. See?
Yeah.
But so close off, you're using the Hanukkah Neiros.
That's also the... Yeah. I'm sorry? Yeah.
So close off, you're using the Neiros, the Hanukkah Neiros.
So close off, the light from the Neiros is definitely reaching the pupils of your eyes.
But for you... Yeah, but not to see, I mean to utilize. You're using it.
I don't know what you mean by that. In other words, are you saying that the light is entering your, is reaching your optic nerve? Yes, it is.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
So what are you saying?
I'm saying there's the 81 candles as opposed to the 80 candles is not really that much of a difference in the usage of the person.
It isn't the way the person relates.
Yeah, but it's how he's relating to them that's the issue.
And but it's not the fact that you're not utilizing those candles.
Yeah, correct. That's correct. Okay. You're physically benefiting. But how the guy relates to them is different. You see?
Yeah.
Okay. So we've answered really the second, third, and fourth question. The truth is we've answered the first question also, but there's one major problem here. There's one major, major problem. And Ellie, this might answer what was bothering you before. I mean, the major problem is that if you understand this svara, it seems that there should be absolutely no room for whatsoever to entertain the possibility that you're allowed to get benefit from the Hanukkah candles. Because it's Pesume Nitzra, it requires a Heker, however that works, okay, we'll leave that, however that works, but it's Pesume Nitzra, requires a Heker, so the God has to relate to it as a separate independent existence, right? So how is it possible to even entertain the idea that you would be allowed to benefit from Hanukkah candles?
What do you mean?
What?
What do you mean?
It means that if you are allowed to benefit fully from Hanukkah candles, if there was such a position that mutalish damesh la'ora, if there was such a position, then the question is, so what's the difference between a Hanukkah candle and the candle that I light in my house every night?
But there is no position.
There is a position.
No, not only is it, it's not Avamina, not only is there such a position, it's the majority view. Is a machlokas on the chafal from the aleph, and it continues on to chafal from the beis. A three-way machlokas of Huna, Rav Chisda, and Rav. We paskin like Rav. We paskin also lishtamish la'ora. But both Rav Huna and Rav Chisda, arguing with Rav, say 100% mutar lishtamish la'ora. It's unbelievable. So according to the majority view, I mean, I want you to understand what this means. According to the majority view of Amorayim, I light a candle on my porch, or I light a candle in my kitchen, whatever, Shasa Sakana, not Shasa Sakana, every night of the year, and including the 8 nights of Hanukkah. There's zero difference.
383 days?
What?
383 days?
354 days.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was in the leap year.
So I light a candle in my house every single night, and what's the difference? You'll ask me what's the difference between Ner Chanukah, which is this whole big pierce of anise, and every other night of the year. The answer is there's no difference whatsoever. So that's mind boggling. Because so where's the pierce? What's going on? Ner Chanukah is simply lighting my kitchen light. Lighting my porch light, whatever, whichever. That's it. It's the same thing I do every day, every night of the year. What? Between the two of them?
Yeah.
Tosses off, why not? So, okay? Are everybody with me?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a powerful question. It's a powerful question. I mean, the svara for why this also lishtamish la'ora is, such a strong one. The gavra has to relate to it not as a ner, not as a ner amishares, but rather as a ner unto itself. So a ner unto itself, you can understand, pesumei nisa, it has its own identity, it has its own nature, but if it's a regular ner amishares, it's my kitchen light. It's amazing. So you understand the problem, right?
Yep.
I want to say like this, okay? And this is basically sort of the crux of the shiur. I mean, I want to say as follows. I've mentioned this numerous times in the past in the different shiurim. When the Torah or Chazal create a mitzvah, there are two, and you should always ask yourself this distinction that I'm about to tell you. I'm sure I'm not the first person to tell you this idea. But when the Torah or Chazal create a mitzvah that involves a chesed doesn't have to mean a physical object, it could also mean an entity, but when the Torah or Chazal create a mitzvah, the chesed, there are two possible approaches as to how that operates. One is that the Torah or Chazal created something yesh me'ayin. In other words, The Torah created ex nihilo, a brand new object that out of nothing, and rendered it into a chesed shel mitzvah and gave it a status and an identity. For example, tefillin. So tefillin is a new creation. It's a bria chadasha that the Torah imbued with significance. But then there's another type of mitzvah where the Torah did not create something yesh me'ayin, but created it yesh me'yesh. In other words, the Torah took a pre-existent phenomenon and imbued it with halachic significance. For example, sukkah. Sukkah, the nature of the mitzvah of sukkah, the Torah took the worldly phenomenon of gazebo and made it into a mitzvah. See? You with me, guys?
Yeah.
Okay. What I want to say over here is like this. Lekulei Alma, Ner Chanukah, is a mitzvah of the second category. In other words, Chazal, what I want to claim is that Chazal did not create a new entity of Ner. They did not create a new entity of Ner. But rather, what's going on? The phone is funny?
We can hear you fine.
Okay. I can't hear you fine. Okay. Alright. Chazal did not create a new entity of Ner. Yesh Me'ayin, there's a new chefza of Ner Chanukah. No. What Chazal did was they took an existent phenomenon of Ner Bayis, the household candle, and said, use that as the mitzvah. Okay? With me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
Ms. Zucker?
Have fun?
Hello?
Yeah, it's a terrible static.
Yeah. What would be the other way that they made up a new thing, even though it's a candle, it would be like a new entity? Like, what would be the other way?
What would be the other way of what?
It would be like a yesh me'ayin chetzel. Like, like a ner is a pre-existing entity before halacha. Doesn't it have to be this way?
It has to be this way? Absolutely not. They could have said, they could have created a new phenomenon of ner Chanukah. What's your question?
Wouldn't there just be a candle that's for the mitzvah? Like, we already have, like, it's not like it's filmed, like it's a new entity that nobody's ever heard of, but it's a candle. Like, we know what a candle is. It's a pre-existing entity.
I'm saying, but it's more than a candle. It's near bias. It's a household candle. Not that it's not. Chazal could have said that there's an idea, there's a phenomenon of They could have said, it's a new candle. The candle has to be made out of a certain material. You have to be placed in a certain place. And that, right? They could have, it was the parameters of a new creation, a new halakhic phenomenon. What I'm saying is that over here what Chazal did was they said, take your household candle. Your household candle is the Ner Hanukkah.
I see you right here.
Yeah, she's on the cell phone. Hold on a second, guys. Yeah, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The very identity itself of the Ner Hanukkah is Ner Bias.
As opposed to the menorah in the base of Mikdash.
That's correct. I'm coming to that. One second. That's Howie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good. Hold on one second. See, so I'm saying over here that the substance of Ner Hanukkah is your household candle. See? You guys there?
Yeah. Do you want us to call you back? Hold on.
Let me call in again. I'm hanging up. I'll call right back. All right. I'll call you right back.
It's not us. It's him.
Yeah. We'll see when he calls back.
So, there's your question that it could have been the Yishmael.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
to
tell. Like,
what
it is.
Right. So,
what it is. It's like, it's a mirror of Pearson. That's what it is. It's a candle to the fascinating. It's not like a death identity of the candle. It's like this candle is the candle that you keep in your house and you do stuff with.
Just now okay, it's not so much better. All right, you there?
Yeah.
Okay.
What I'm saying now is like this. See, and everybody agrees this idea, that the essential definition of Ner Hanukkah is household candle. I have to be more clear about this, because I'm afraid that maybe some of you don't understand. It's not that Chazal said, take a household candle and make it into Ner Hanukkah. Rather, it's no conversion process over here. Chazal said, Ner Hanukkah is Ner Bias. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Initially.
The other way.
What?
The conversion way.
No. I see the initial conceptual distinction.
Okay. All right. So work with me for a second. What I'm saying over here is like this. The whole machlokas between whether you say also lishtamish la'ora or mutter lishtamish la'ora is as follows. I started off this last part, you know, by asking a question. How's it possible, Rav Huna and Rav Chisda, how's it possible for them to say that Mutter Lishtamish La'ora? The answer is, they were backed into a corner. They had to say it. What I mean is, I'll be a little bit, you know, don't take what I'm saying very literally. What I mean is like this. Rav Huna Rav Chisda would have loved to say Asu Lishtamish La'ora, but they couldn't, because they maintain as follows: if you restrict a person's usage of the candle, then it's no longer, it doesn't have the character of Ner Bias, because Ner Bias means that you can use the candle for whatever way you want. That's what Ner Bias is. And since the very nature, the very essence of the mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah is Ner Bias, Gufa, that's what it is, so therefore it would be an oxymoron to say that I have a Ner Hanukkah which is also Lishtamish La'ora. Because then it's not Ner Bias anymore. If it's not Ner Bias, then it's not Ner Hanukkah.
Rabbi Jagger?
Yes?
But they have no problem with limiting the kinds of wicks and waxes you can use.
What are you talking about?
Ner Bias, I'm allowed to use anything I want.
No, not on Shabbos. That's a separate idea on Shabbos.
What about Bechol?
Who said Bechol? Who said you're not allowed to use a Bechol? Hello?
You're not allowed to use those materials for Ner Hanukkah Bechol.
Who said that?
The Puna.
The Gemara.
What Gemara are you talking about?
That Gemara you're just talking about, Rav Huna.
Isn't it only on Shabbos?
No.
No, it's a big
Shabbos.
Right, because
of Kasa Zakakla.
That's Kasa Zakakla!
Yeah.
My timer, so it costs a zaka claw, umutal is tamish la aura. 1 second. Right, what are you? Yeah. What do you say? You see the last, see, take a look at Rashi. He says like this, that's because it costs a zaka claw. Hilkach tzorich lechatzchila la'asos yofeh. Dilma pet, should be yifshah, really. Dilma pasha v'lo mesakin la. It means, that Rashi says openly, you're right. They say you have to use those wicks which are proper, which are good. Why? Because, and he says lechatzchila, what does it mean? It means, that may make us be, and you can use anything. But since Kasazakuk law and Kasal were afraid Shema Yifsha, and he's not going to wind up doing the mitzvah altogether, so they said, use those materials which are going to burn for, nicely, they're going to last. You see? But that's not a restriction. The pshat is like this. When I say that according to Rav Huna and Chizda, you can't, You can't say also Ishtamish law, because if you create a restriction on the use of the candle, then it's not a Ner Bias. If you say that I can only use certain types of Ner Bias because I'm afraid that I'm not going to wind up doing the mitzvah, it's a gzera, within the gzera. I mean, it's not gzera, don't ask that kasha. But it's a gzera within the whole takkan of Ner Chanukah, so I say I have to use a certain type of Ner Bias, because of Shema Yifsha, that's okay, that's not a problem. That doesn't compromise, near bias. That doesn't render it into a non-near bias. If I say I can't use it, well, the definition of near bias means a candle which is designed for a person's use.
So you're not saying that any rules would render it not a near bias. It can't be antithetical to the identity of near bias.
Exactly. In other words, Michael, the premise behind your question is that if there's any kind of restriction, boom, it's not a near bias anymore. That's not true. Chazal could tell you to use a certain type of near bias. And by the way, Rashi points out that the reason for that restriction, according to Rav Huna, is that because of Shema Yifsha. It's not within the goof of the mitzvah itself. It's because of Shema Yifsha.
I understand.
Okay. So Rav Huna and Chizda are backed into a corner. You see? Now, what are you going to say about Rav?
She wasn't backed into a
corner. We still haven't explained Rav Huna and Rav Chizda. I mean, what about the character of Pearson?
Oh, good. What about Pearson? So what about Pearson? Good question. What are you going to say about Pearson? It's an interesting question. So I told you before that... I'll answer that one now. What do you say about Pearson according to them? So I told you before that the Rambam in Perek Gimel did not say Laharos or Legalos Anes. That the Rambam didn't write. But he did write in Perek Dalet Halacha Yudbeis. He said, V'tzarech Adam Lizayah Bar Kedelo Bia Anes. It sounds like it's a very, subtle difference, but it's a very important difference. What's the difference between Kidei laharos or legalos anes, which is what the Rambam didn't write, and versus kidei lehodia anes? So the difference lies in the following. Kidei lehodia anes means that the candle has to be a vehicle to make a person aware of something. You see? Lehodia is das, is yudia. So what I want to say is like this. The truth is, what I'm about to say is not my own. It's from the Rav. The Rav said, the Rav was bothered by the following phenomenon in the Rambam. The Rambam starts off Hilchos Chanukah Perek Gimel with three halachos hours of history. Actually, 2 hours of history. Tells the story. The Rav was bothered by why the Rav, this is the Mishnah Torah, it's Allah, it's not a history book. Why the Rav go into the whole history? And he didn't, for example, he didn't say a word with regard to the history of Purim, so why is he doing it over here? So the Rav answered, he says follows. He said, you see, both Purim and Hanukkah, the key of my mitzvah is Pirsumei Nisa. Okay? And Pirsumei Nisa, said the Rav, means an awareness, yidia, of the Nes. So in Megillah, with regard to Purim, you don't need to spell it out, because the mitzvah itself creates the yidia, the text of the Megillah. But since there is no text with regard to Hanukkah in terms of a mitzvah, right, we know the Megillah Antiochus is not part of the mitzvah, so there's no text. So therefore, the Rav said the kiyum mitzvah is a kiyum belayv. It's a beautiful idea. The Rav said that the kiyum mitzvah of Hanukkah and Purim is a kiyum belayv of Yedia. So the Yedia is what happened. What was the next? So the Rav is writing the Mishnah Torah is a halacha book, right? So he has to include in the halacha the kiyum belayv. What's the kiyum? What's the kiyum mitzvah? The kiyum belayv. So that's why you have to tell the story in the beginning. So what I'm saying is like this. According to Rav Huna Rav Chisda, you have to say like this, that Chazal had no choice because the mitzvah is ner bias. Ner bias, according to Rav Huna and Rav Chisda understand it, means that it has to be unrestricted usage. That's what ner bias is. So therefore, you're stuck. I mean, that's what are you going to do? That's the mitzvah. Where's the pirsum? So the answer is, they say that there is no hecker in the nair. It's true. There is no hecker. We'd love to have a hecker in the nair. We'd love it. But it's impossible. So the existence of the nair bias on Hanukkah has to, should produce, the whole idea is that it should produce within the person a key and belief of awareness of the miracle. It's difficult. But they have no choice.
I don't understand. Can you just... Where is the Pearson?
In you.
Pearson is in your head.
In the Madlik or in the Roah?
You keep on coming back to the issue. I don't know. It's in everybody. The Madlik, the Roah, it's everybody. The Madlik is a Roah. I mean, it's everybody.
Why
don't
you say
it's in the Maisa Habakkuk? Because the Maisa Habakkuk is simply a near bias. The candle.
No, but you have to specifically light it now. It's actually the chiyah to light it is more on the...
Okay, I mean, you're fine. But it has to produce this awareness. This let me put it this way. The Rav has to say, this candle, the lighting of this candle must produce a certain awareness.
And how does it?
Well, I don't understand. What does that mean?
It must, and it does by...
Oh, I'll come to that in a minute. But just hold off for a second, okay?
Alright.
I'll come to that in a second. Okay. So that's Rav Huna Rav Chisda. What about Rav? I think I'm going to answer your question, so hold on for a second. What about Rav? So Rav says like this. I agree that the mitzvah is, that the Ner Hanukkah means Ner bias. I agree. But what's the difference between, what's the pivotal point between Rav on the one hand and Rav Huna Rav Chisda on the other hand? What's the difference, what are they arguing about? So the what they're arguing about is near bias, is the definition of near bias, is it something in the physical characteristic, the substance of the near? Or is it also in the function of the near? In other words, according to Rav Huna Rav Chisda, function is included in that definition. So if I restrict my function, I've restricted near bias, I've impinged upon the definition of near bias, it's a problem. But according to Rav, the definition of their bias is only in terms of its structure, not in terms of its function. That's the only machlokas between them. So since, according to Rav, the definition of their bias is a structural phenomenon, therefore you can impose an isur ishtamshus, because that doesn't impinge upon upon their bias, because he's defining their bias in terms of its structure, not in terms of its material structure, not in terms of its function. So if that's the case, you can impose a restriction in terms of usage, and therefore you must. Because you must, since you can, you must. Why? Because of the hecker. Because of the piercing.
What's the structure?
What?
What's the structure?
Material structure?
Yeah.
It becomes specific to their bias, such that you can apply its structure.
What's the structure of an air bias?
The material. In other words, it's a nair. That's, that has to be dull lake for a certain amount of time. It's the place that you light it. They say like this. Their characteristics of nair bias lie in the in this material of nair.
Nair bias.
Yeah. Nair. Nair bias. That's why, for example, I'm going to come to this in a couple of minutes. That's why, for example, you know, as well-meaning as you might be, lighting a giant menorah in the town square is absolutely worthless with regard to this mitzvah. That's not nair bias. The nair. Not their bias.
I think it might be worse than both.
Follow?
Yeah.
You mean it's near bias because it's in your house and it lasts for a certain period of time. And
that's correct.
So
even though you're not going to be actually using it like a nearby.
That's correct.
Rebbe?
Yeah.
But once you have a second alternative, why are Rav Huna and other more? Why is it that they must say it? Why couldn't they have also said this?
As you're asking me now why they saw that function should be part of the definition?
Yeah, because you were saying that, quote-unquote, they would have loved to say the other thing, right?
Yeah, but because they maintain that the definition of nair bias also includes function.
No, so when you said they were forced, it's not something on the basis of their shita, it's on the basis of their opinion about the definition of nair bias.
Oh, yeah, that's what's forcing them.
Okay.
Zucker?
Yep.
You don't have to answer this question, but it's like what do you gain by making Nair Hanukkah Nair Bias as opposed to just like a Nair Pearson? Like what's the gain of by basing it off like especially according to Rav Huna and Rav Chisda where the function of Tashmish is essential to the Nair? Like why would Chazal base it off that entity? It's like it's in contradiction to the idea of a near person, almost.
Yeah, why must it be near bias?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm coming there. One second. Yes, I must answer that question. It's a very important question.
Okay.
Can you follow up till now?
Yeah, just right. That's bothering.
Okay.
Did you answer the question of how it functions, the near functions as Pearson for Rav Huna?
What I said was that you have a near bias.
Right.
Oh, no, I didn't answer that. I'm going to say, the question you're asking now and the question that who asked before, Zimmer asked before, the answer to those questions is the same.
Okay,
you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, last point. The last point is like this. So the question is, what you just said, why were Chazal forced into rendering the mitzvah near near bias? Why couldn't they create a chesed yesh meayin? Why or near shel pirsum? Why must it be that everybody agrees that the mitzvah of ner Hanukkah is near bias? And then the only question is, what is the definition of near bias? Is it the material? Is it the function also? Why not? Why it's your question. Why couldn't it be near? Why couldn't it be near shel pirsum? Okay. All right.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
Do you ask a question or you're just going to answer it?
I hope to answer it.
Could you ask us, could we say something or?
Oh, okay, go ahead, yeah, sure.
Well, it's what I said before, that if they would have made something yesh me'ayin, then it would take, people would look at it in the same realm somehow as the menorah and the mikdash.
Very good. I want to say like what Howie's saying. Little bit of a twist, but the same idea. The if you take a look at the Rambam's formulation in the beginning of Perek Gimel, so he mentions the war. What was the nais, right? My Hanukkah. So what was the nais? So he mentions the war, and he mentions the nais of the Pach HaShemet. And you know very well, you know, the between the two Nisim. The Gemara says, "My Chanukah lasted al Eizah Neis Kavua." So the Neis of the Shemen was a reflection of the entire purpose, the entire character of the Neis of the Nochama. You see, so it means like this. You see, but there's no question that we're lighting candles. I mean, the truth is, I shouldn't say there's no question. There may be one Shita Rishonim that says a different shot altogether. But what I'm saying is according to the Rambam, according to Rashi, according to pretty much everything we've seen, that when you light the candle is designed to be a reminder of the Neis of the Shemen. You see? So what I want to say is like this. There's one problem that Chazal had to deal with, and that is as follows. From a halachic point of view, you're not allowed to duplicate Klei HaMikdash. It's an issur d'oraisa. That's a clear, strict halachic issue. So you'll say, okay, there's no duplication over here because there's no such thing as a menorah with regard to Hanukkah. You don't need a menorah. You can just light a nair itself, right? That's true. But there's a problem, a sort of a meta halachic problem, and that is that Chazal were faced with the following issue. We need something that's going to serve as a reminder of the Neis HaShemen, but if we create a Chafzashel Ner, if we create Yesh Me'ayin, a Chafzashel Ner, so you have a problem of the idea of a duplication of the Neiros HaMa'aracha, Ner HaMa'aracha. You see, you have a problem with that. So, and that Chazal could not tolerate.
What's the problem? Because it references the... What's the problem?
The problem is that Neiros HaMa'aracha is a unique phenomenon. You cannot duplicate the idea of Neir HaMa'aracha anywhere else. It places the Mikdash and that's it. So if Chazal would have created a Neir HaMa'aracha, a Neir Chanukah, Yesh Me'ayin, so what they would be doing basically is saying that it's a copy of Ner Mikdash. It's like sort of Ner HaMa'aracha Midrabanan. That is intolerable. But you need something that's going to remind the person of the Neis of the Shemen. So they're caught in a quandary. So what did they do? It's an ingenious solution. What did they do? They took a phenomenon whose identity is clearly not a Ner Mikdash issue. It's Ner Bayis. It's your household candle. You see? And they rendered that household candle into a reminder of the Neis HaShemen. So, you understand, they walked a tightrope. They needed something that's going to be a reminder of Lodia, like the Rambam says, Lodia Neis. They needed something that's going to remind a person of the Neis of the Shemen, but it couldn't be something that duplicates Ner Mikdash. So that's a problem. It's like almost a paradox. So what did they do? They said, we'll take a phenomenon which clearly cannot be confused with Ner HaMa'aracha, namely your Ner Bayis, and that will be the reminder, so far as it's a Ner, that will be a reminder of the Neis of the Ner in the Mikdash. That's why, Ali, that's what you're saying, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's beautiful. That's why it was Kuli Alma. They had to start with Ner Bayis, and of course there's a question, what is Ner Bayis? Is it substance only? Is it substance and function? You know, what is it? But everybody starts with Ner Bayis. That is the Chafzashel Mitzvah. You see, and this might answer the, you know, maybe help in understanding the idea of the Maskana from before, that the Gavra has to be completely mufresh. It means that I have a Ner Bayis. Now, insofar as creating a Heker, you know, that this is Lehodia Anais, Lehodia, you know, to be a reminder, so I have a substance of Ner Bayis which I can't touch. you know, which I can't use in a profane way. But the idea is, we got to think about that. But the point is, the idea is that they must have used Ner Bayis, and Rav Huna Rav Chisda were backed into a corner because their concept of Ner Bayis included function.
Right, so how now, given that it had to be Ner Bayis, and their concept of Ner Bayis is function,
yeah,
how does it serve as a reminder? How is it Makar?
So it's perfect. So it serves as a reminder as much as it can, meaning I have a Ner. On the day of Chanukah, on the night of Chanukah, I must light a Ner. The existence of this obligated Ner,
okay,
reminds me of the Nes of the Ner Mikdash.
Yeah.
It would have been great it would have been wonderful to be able to do it in a better way, in a clearer way, by having an Isser Ishtamshus.
Yeah.
But what can we do? Hands are tied, because then it won't, according to us, Rav Huna Rav Chisda, it won't be in their bias anymore. If it's not in their bias, you have a problem.
Yep.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
I mean, it's a beautiful idea. It means, I started off by saying that a little detail really can reveal the essential nature or the essential character of the mitzvah over here. It means that, I got to tell you, before I worked this out, so I was under the impression that Chazal created the Chesta Shel Ner, Ner Chanukah. It's the new Chesta. Not true. Chazal said, take your Ner Bayis, and that is going to be Ner Chanukah. You see? So, I want to point out two things, and then if you have any questions, I'll take questions. But I want to point out two things. One is, and I'm not on a mission, and it's not a tirade, but I do want to point out that the idea of lighting a very large menorah in the middle of in front of town hall is a complete perversion of what this mitzvah is. It's an absolute perversion. Because it goes exactly contrary to what Chazal struggled with over here. You know, you have great the great minds, the genius minds of Chazal, who are struggling with an issue of how do we create a reminder of the Nes in the Mikdash without violating the problem. God forbid anybody, you know, thinking that there's a new, like a near Maracha Midrabanan. And so the way that they solved the problem was by saying that the mitzvah is near Beso. See? And today, people who I'm sure are very well-meaning, but it's just I'm a racist. I mean, it's a complete perversion of what Chazal did. See? That's one comment. The other comment is...
Well, can I comment on that comment?
Go ahead.
I think it's more than that, because I think as Chazal made up a mitzvah on how to be Mefaris and the Nes, they didn't say go around with flags or do anything else. This is like a totally new thing.
Yeah. Okay, I mean, yeah, it's true. I'm saying over here that, okay, they want to be well-meaning and say, well, it's if you understand the depth of what Chazal was struggling with, what they were doing over here, so yeah, you have to say it's completely contrary to, it's not only a question of introducing new things, I mean, which is very bad, you're right, I'm not minimizing that, I'm saying that within the thing itself it's a problem.
Right, is that good?
Yes.
The minhag to light in the base Knesset.
Yeah, I was waiting for that.
Right, the doctor, you put the minhag to put in the darum because.
I was waiting for that too. So yeah. What do you say?
Is there anything else you're waiting for?
Yeah.
What was your second comment?
And it's a bias. The
I was going to say.
The fact that the bias stems from Kedushas Mikdash,
right,
is the reference that back. So it's not the menorah per se.
Yeah, I was going to say that the...
What was that? We can't hear Moshe so well.
He's telling me that Rebbe gave a shiur on that minhag, on the minhag. First of all, I just want to point out to you, the minhag is not anywhere in the Gemara. Who's the late Rishonim have it, right?
Yeah, the
Rishonim.
The
Rishonim. And the Rishonim. Oh, okay. I take it back. Okay. So I was going to say that the you can still preserve the idea because it is Beis HaKnesses. And Moshe just told me, that's what I was going to say. Moshe told me that the Rosh Yeshiva said a similar idea. That's, in other words, it's the house of the Tzibor. You know, what I'm saying is you could preserve the idea that you could preserve the idea of near bias. It's a different type of bias, but it's near bias.
What about the Durham?
Yeah.
What about the Durham?
Oh, right over there. That's a good question.
I mean, I hear what you're saying so far as you're preserving the character of their bias through this idea of Tziba or whatever, but the Durham thing is almost a target disaster to everything we're saying.
Is it Ritzvah Hazard or the Rishonim himself?
No, I don't know.
See, that's the question. The Rishonim say to do it over there or not? You got to check the source. I don't know the answer to this. You got to check the source. That the minute to lie on the South, is that in the minute of Rishonim or not?
No, they don't have that part. I don't think so. I don't think we saw it.
Had
the Rishonim?
I don't think so.
I don't think anybody had that part.
Mechaber had that,
I thought.
That would be the question. Do Rishonim have the idea of the light in the south as a keel?
Or
a chain?
Mechaber does have it, though.
What's that?
I think the Shulchan Aruch does have it.
But Rebbe did answer that question of the Dagam.
Yeah, what's that?
Rebbe answered the question of the Dagam also.
Oh, yeah, that, okay.
Just because, I mean, he says that it's not Dagon because you're trying to take Neil Chanukah and make it into Neil Mikdash. I mean, it has nothing to do with Neil Mikdash. But the only thing is that they want to show the idea of the Kedushas Beis Knesset that the Kedushas Am Yisrael emerges from Mikdash. So they wanted some reference to Mikdash in terms of the Kedushas Am Yisrael of Beis Knesset, which is manifest in Beis Knesset.
I understand. So what he's saying, if I understand it correctly, what he's saying is that lighting in the south is not a kiyum in the nair, it's a kiyum in the shul, so to speak.
It's a kiyum making that nair, turning the shul into a bias of the tibor.
What?
The whole idea how this has to make sense is that you need it to be nair bias. So now you're creating this idea of the bias of the tibor.
Right.
So this lends credence to that notion.
Yeah, correct. Correct. The other thing I want to point out, the last thing I wanted to point out was that according to the Rambam, the text that we say of Aneros Alaro, the Rambam would not agree, and Rashi and the Ran would not agree with. I don't know who made up the text. It's a good question to find out what the source is. But there's one line in there that the Rambam and Rashi and the Ran for sure would not say.
Kodeshim?
That's right. The Aneros Alaro Kodeshim. The Ein Lanu Rishus L'Shtanishvam. So the Ein Lanu Rishus L'Shtanishvam is correct. But the Neos Ol Kodeshim, I believe they would vehemently disagree with.
Good point. Why did you say that?
I was wondering that also.
Why did you say that? Well, Rav, they had the argument, and he was martyred, there's no Kedusha.
Yeah, and I'm saying, and I don't know who made it up. It's a funny thing. I mean, you know, like, but unless you want to say that it means something else, Kodeshim, I'm not sure. Maybe, I don't want to speculate. I'm just pointing out that those who showed them would definitely not agree to that line.
You said the Balmor held that they had Kedusha enough?
What's that?
The Balmor did hold that the Neros had Kedusha.
But it's interesting. The Balmor says, the Balmor is a whole different sheet. The Balmor says that you're allowed to use, or at least he I don't know if he winds up with Maskana like this, but he definitely, he quotes the sheet. He says that You are allowed to use Ner Chanukah L'Dvar Mitzvah because it's not halacha in Heker, but it's halacha in Kedusha. I mean, the Baal HaMor might agree to that. Maybe, you know, maybe the author of Aner Sahara was the Talmud of Baal HaMor, you know, like in line with that sheet. But that's a whole different approach. The Baal HaMor's approach is really a whole different approach.
There is a girl.
Yeah.
The Rosh has Kodesh.
Say again?
The Rosh has it.
Who?
The Rosh.
The Rosh has
an Eretz Halalo Kodesh.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, what did you say about the Yisr Stamshas?
I don't know.
So where do you see in the Rosh?
In, right there. I'll look for the Yisr Stamshas.
Wait, he says Kodesh, and that's not in the context of Yishtamshas?
He quotes Masechah Sofrim. And he brings down the Gersa of Aner Salala.
What page are you on?
326.
326. Okay, right column or left column?
Left, right before Ostas.
Right before Ostas. Okay, 1 second. Masechah Sofrim, Kosher Ketzim Varkam, Mabim Varshos Bot. Good. So, man, Aner Salala, I know what we can all choose from the Nisi, the Fosh, 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 Choshmash mechanakah neos hol kodesh. Neos should be starish ben. So it's Masech HaSofim, it's the Gemara.
Masech HaSofim chaf halacha hei.
Say it again?
It's Perek Kaf halacha hei, Masech HaSofim.
Yeah.
Sorry, halacha vav.
He sounds exactly like the Rosh.
It also is Kodesh.
Yeah.
Rebbe?
Yeah, you see, yeah, that's correct. Ellie.
Yeah.
See those tests?
Yeah.
Yilkus de Ravachan. Neir Chanukah Shehosios, Moshe Hashem and Shebeneir. So he said, Moshe Hashem and Shebeneir, so he holds, by Yom HaShmini, Oso Lo Medura V'Sofer V'Fnei Atzmo, V'Fi Shehuksa L'Mitzvah, Oso L'Shtamish Mimeno. So he holds, it's good, it's perfect. So whether you say Aneros Allah Kodesh Hashem or not, it's going to depend upon what you say, for example, with regard to Moshe Hashem and Shebeneir. Because if you say Moshe Hashem and Shebeneir is Osir, so then you're saying that it's Kedusha, it's because of Kedusha.
Look at Osvav.
Osvav. That's interesting. Ra'ayin ben Yasha. That's interesting. Chayim Ashma Lushan the Kama Kenegin Echanak. Lama the Rasa's Mos La'ora. The Rambam did. You see, the Rambam said exactly the language that the Rosh rejected. What does he say about Mitzvah? What about Bar Mitzvah? He doesn't say.
Is
it 25 oil? No, so he says you have to burn the remainder of the oil after the eighth day.
Rabbi Zucker?
Yeah.
I don't understand why you can't just say that this has no connection to the menorah and it is Yesh Me'ayim. It's just light.
What do you mean?
I'm saying your entire problem of having them establish a new halachic thing was that's connecting it to menorah and then that is the problem of making like a menorah Jerubana.
I want to ask you a question. You light the candle. What is the purpose of the candle? What's the candle to remind you of?
The nace that happened.
Okay, what nace?
The nace that the Jews won in the Greeks and then the menorah lasted.
Okay, so it's the nace of the menorah and the mikdash.
Yeah.
Okay, so now you're telling me that there's a new halachic creation over here, of a nair.
Okay.
You don't understand why Chazal were concerned that people will relate to that new creation as Nea Mikdash Midrabanan?
And he's like,
yeah.
I thought he would stop.
What?
Oh,
okay. Go ahead. What is it?
The Ran has a Sua Kimenora, you know?
That's what he's explained about more, isn't he?
I don't think so. I don't know. I don't think he is.
Where is that?
The very beginning of it.
He's saying like this. Yeah, one second.
One second.
No.
I think
that what he's talking about in the ratio doesn't allow. It's a different idea from what he says. Vafilu le tashmish kal. Because if he means it literally, that you know tiknasaua kimenora shem shtamshim ba klal. So the halacha is that there's an issa meila. The halacha is ein nen and vein malin. You're not allowed to in the mikdash. You're not allowed to be nena from the nair of the menorah. I mean, you know, intentionally. In other words, you can't go and read by its light. But if you do, it's not meila because you aren't the machasa the chasa. But that's a separate issue. You don't have to bring a korban. But you're still violating this daraisa. So that wouldn't matter whether it's tashmish kal or tashmish kaved. You follow?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good question you're asking. What does he mean? He says
it's a strange run, anyways, because in the beginning he's talking about that, and then later he goes to bizoy.
And he goes into
bizoy mitzvah.
Right.
It's hard to understand the.
Yeah. I only introduced the Ron really for his explanation of the Rambam.
I understand.
But you're right. I mean, but I'm just pointing out that it can't be that explanation of the Rambam is in line with the idea of Asa'ua Kimenorah, because then it would be then there's no room for Avamina.
I understand.
Because in Meila, it doesn't matter. Tashmish Kal, Tashmish Kaved. Really,
Zucker?
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question about the Kedusha thing?
Yeah.
So, according to the Baal HaMoed, this idea that maybe you could apply Kedusha, does that run into the problem of Yesh Me'ayin
reference? That's a good question. I don't know. I really have to think about that. My goal over here was to explain the Rambam.
Right, because I could see it both ways, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. According to the Baal HaMoed, question, according to what Rabbi Feder is now just pointing out, the beginning of the run is, so they have a problem. I mean, but yeah, you have to explain why what overrode that problem.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
Just a couple of points. I think the Raya and the Rambam, that's what you're saying. Just in Halacha Gimel. So he says, "Madlikin b'hem haneros erev al pistei abatim." So he doesn't specify what neros he's talking about. It. I mean, what's haneros? The only neros that exist are the neros of the bias.
That's cute.
You'll take it.
Do I win?
It's cute. Let's put it this way.
Okay.
Let me put it this way. Before working out the idea of the Shia, I don't know if I would have looked at that Rambam and said, Aneros, what are you talking about earlier? Right. But once you know the idea of the Shia, it does point to something. I mean,
I also have just a question.
Yeah.
So if you're doing the mitzvah kitzurasa, that you do it ala Pesach, so why
do you... I just want to say, I got to tell you, it's once you point it out, it is a good point, because I'll tell you why. And I'll tell you why, because if you look at it, the natural thing you should have said, Madlikin b'hem neros.
Right.
You know, which would have made perfect sense.
That was my point.
That's the way to speak. Yeah, that would be the natural flow. Yeah, Madlikin b'hem neros is funny. I mean, okay, go ahead, yeah.
Yeah, no, just if you're doing the mitzvah kitzurasa, that you light the neros a la Pesach, so why doesn't it require a ner acher with them to make a...
Oh, you mean if you're outside?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Why should you need it? What's the question?
You need a heker.
Well, because if you walk up in and out of your house, I mean, so you're going to use the light to walk, to your door. I assume that the answer to the question is... That if you're lighting outside, so your door is at Rosh Hashanah. So I assume that you don't need it because there in Rosh Hashanah there is light.
But it's a complete assumption. I don't tell you. I light outside and I leave a porch light on.
Mm-hmm.
Go off, Rabbi.
Right, is it clear? Is the idea clear? I mean, the walkaway point from this whole thing is that Chazal, according to the Rambam and Rashi, and maybe the Ran, I mean, it looks, certainly the Ran in the middle, the Ran's explanation of the Rambam, the idea is that Chazal, they took Ner Bayis, and that is the mitzvah. And the machlokes between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda versus Rav is what's the definition, what do you include within the definition of Ner Bayis? Working backwards, the idea of according to Rav, if you can create an Isser Ishtamshus, then you must, because of the Heker. And what is the definition of the Isser Ishtamshus is that the Gavra should relate to the Ner as a separate, independent existence. It is Ner Bayis, but he should be mafresh himself from it for the purpose of Heker, for the purpose of Pesume Nisa. Follow?
Yeah.
That's basically the Shia. Is it clear?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. You don't sound too enthusiastic, but maybe that's because it's 11:30.
Yeah.
Is that good?
Yeah.
I guess one last thing. It's you just share, like, the last Rambam in Hanukkah.
Yeah.
So he says, how you fun of Ner Beis or Ner Hanukkah?
Right.
So I just wanted to ask you this question. We're going through the sigla. Does near beis and Rambam mean near beis, like your house and your, like, near beis, or does it mean Shabbos?
I think it's about Shabbos, right? Because he says
the Rambam never calls near Shabbos near beis on the yacht. Like Rashi says over here, near beis is near Shabbos. But the Rambam, like, does that bother you that the Rambam calls near beis here and he never does that anywhere else?
Not the Gemara.
One second.
Is that the terminology in the Gemara?
Yeah, but even so.
Yeah,
it's
not right.
Nerbeso.
No,
the Gemara does call it Nerbeso.
Yeah.
The normal life that you wet in your house every 354 nights a year.
But
most learn that it's a question if you only have enough money for Ner Shabbos and therefore you buy Ner Shabbos.
Okay.
Within Shabbos?
The Ritva holds it's near Beza.
It's dark head, right?
Even on a Tuesday night you buy your candle for your house.
I don't know.
Maybe this acts as a riot.
Hold on, before the riots, one second.
Hold the riots. You have such a situation for near Beis versus near Chanukah, but if you have a method which honors the law, you can use it both,
right?
Yeah, it is, but it's both near Beis and near Chanukah, for that function.
Is there the other place? In the Choftes? Hold on one second. Just give me 1 second
now. What's the mitzvah on Tuesday night?
No, Shalom.
Shalom.
What's Lamed? No, I just want to make sure that he doesn't say anywhere in the Mishnah Torah he doesn't call near Beis. Ah.
I didn't really read that much. I was entire day.
In Moshe, I looked in Bar-Ilan and it didn't seem to have it in Bar-Ilan, according to Bar-Ilan.
But you also looked
at Bar-Ilan?
We did a search in the Mishnah Torah, did he ever use the term Ner Beis?
Stop. You also looked at
Yeah.
Well,
then
there
we
go.
What about Sheher? You have to provide it with a candle. Now, do you remember what that is? The halacha about
Sheher? Remember right here?
Yud-Beis or Yud-Beis Yud? One of those?
Yeah, it was Yud-Beis Yud, I think.
Yud-Beis Yud?
Most people learn that it means Ner Shabbos.
Yeah, most people learn it's Ner Shabbos.
Except for that one Yud-Beis.
Yeah, the Ritva. Are we not anyone else? Who did you use with? You did this one.
Oh,
it's like you want to learn it. It's just like it's a little weird, right?
Is it the whole time?
Well, it's...
I release the Raya?
Well, not yet. One second. If Hilchos Shabbos Perek Lamed Halacha Hey, he doesn't call it Ner Beso, but he does say Mitzarech L'Sakein Beso Mibod Yom L'Chavos Shabbos V'Yeh Ner Dolek V'Shulchan Aruch U'Mita Matzas, which is a character of the house. But you're right, it's not a clear proof. Where was the other one? Hilchos Ishus Yud Beis Yud. Yaakov, what is it? You've been good.
I think so. That's just talking about the different things you chay to your wife. So one of the things you chay is now.
Right.
But it's not really a lie either. I mean, it's just like the one place he mentioned some sort of chiyuv to your wife of now.
Not even there. It's Shem and Rav Rav is
there. Right. Give her the oil. Don't you have to give her the wicks?
Doesn't say anything about the wicks, yeah.
I think you're stupid.
I mean, I tell you, the context in the end of Hilchos Chanukah, because when he talks about Kiddush Hayom, that's clearly Shabbos.
Right, that's for sure. But still, like, the Rambam could have said Ner Shabbos. You know, like, that's what he calls it.
It's. I mean, you also are going to say that Shabbos is specifically in Div Shalom, which the Gemara says, but the Rambam never mentions that in Shabbos. He mentions Oneg, he mentions Kavod, but he doesn't mention Shalom but in Hilchos Shabbos.
Yeah.
Which, if you say, like, that's, you know, Shalom, that's the biggest thing, I mean, it's funny that's mentioned in Hilchos Shabbos.
Good point. It's a good point. Okay, what was the Raya you want to say?
I just realized there might be a problem with it, but what I wanted to say was that the reason that Doctor brings it up here, and it is referring to Shabbos, is because it's referring to Shabbos qua Ner Beso. That since Ner Chanukah used the system of Ner Beso to establish the idea of Ner Chanukah, it doesn't make any sense that Ner Chanukah can exist when Ner Beso doesn't. Because then that would mean that the Ner Chanukah is using a system that isn't really there. So then Ner Chanukah would revert to its actual status of Ner Beso. So, meaning even if you were to put it there, it would be Ner Beso. So before you can have Ner Chanukah, it has to be in Ner Beso.
Are you saying that the Rambam, the Gemara, discussed the whole issue is because Ner Beso and Ner Beso, assuming that Ner Beso means Ner Shabbos, Ner Beso and Ner Chanukah both exist within the very same realm, and therefore there's a basis to even discuss a comparison between the two?
Well, yeah, first that, but I'm saying Ner Shabbos actually operates within that.
The question is, this always bothered me. I mean, why does the Rambam discuss over here, and if you can tell me because the Gemara does, then okay, then why does the Gemara discuss? Ner Beisov, Ner Shabbat, you know, Ner Chanukah, you know, Haiminayu Adif. I mean, why doesn't the Gemara ever discuss, for example, you know, like, you know, pick anything, a shofar or you know, shofar tzitzis, Haiminayu Adif, or, you know, What's the basis to even bring this up for a discussion? You can bring up any two mitzvahs and say which one should you spend money on, you know, or if you're talking about if it's Ner Shabbos, you know, in particular, so let's assume that it is. So then, why is it Ner Shabbos or Ner Chanukah? Why not Ner Shabbos or Tzitzis? Ner Shabbos or Lulav? You know. Is it the same thing you could bring up? I mean,
no, not true. Because isn't there a specific parallel to this by Dalet Kosos?
No, you're talking about the Ani now. That's a different idea.
That's different than this.
Yeah, well, that's the ratio. That's halacha yedimel.
Uh-huh.
There's a halacha. What happens if you can't afford it?
Right. Okay, fine. Oh, okay. But it's a different thing. It's fine.
Which one comes first? I mean, you know, it's funny. I mean, it's a funny type of
Well, no. Once we know that they're not talking about fun, then it fits very nicely because they both use the same materials.
That's what I'm saying. Your point is a good point. It does explain why the Gemara and the Rambam entertain the question. In other words, it's a question because near bias actually exists in two frameworks in the mitzvah. One is near bias as near Shabbos, and the other is near bias as near Hanukkah. So if they come into conflict because you can only afford one of them, which near bias should get its expression? Which near bias should come to the fore, and which one should be, you know, ignored? Which one should be overlooked? But it's a question because they both exist within the same realm. But if it was two separate mitzvahs, if it was Ner Shabbos was one type of mitzvah, and Ner Chanukah was simply Yesh Me'ayin and Nu Chatsa, so then why is the Gemara discussing the question? I mean, what do you mean, which one do you do? You'll come to some kind of conclusion. The Gemara doesn't discuss, well, what are you going to do if you have only money for Ner or Shabbos or Lulav?
What Kiddush Hayom?
Yeah, you mean, how does Kiddush Hayom come into the thing?
Yeah.
Now, I'll tell you, the Rambam's point is going to be that Ner Beso is Adif, right?
Right.
Which I have to tell you is a very funny thing. Well, what's it doing in you could have asked a better question. What's it doing in Ochos Chanukah? It belongs to Ochos Shabbos.
Sorry, that's a
question.
Right. So, but you're right. But you could say that once, see, the whole point of our halacha is to talk about Ner Beso. Because of Shalom. Right?
Right.
So the question, of course, then is, so what's Ner Shabbos doing at the end of Hilchos Chanukah? It belongs in Hilchos Shabbos. But the answer, that's what Michael's pointing out, the answer is that Ner Beso and Ner Chanukah are more than just, they share more than just the name, the coincidental name Ner. They really are the same substance, namely Ner Bias. But the same substance gets used in two realms of mitzvah. So it's not out of place to talk about Ner Shabbos within Ner Chanukah. Yeah, I understand that. It's true. But once the goal is to speak about the idea of Shalom as a value, so the goal of the halakha winds up, it becomes Ner Shabbos. So once you're talking about Ner Shabbos, then it's not out of place to introduce Kiddush. So I'm saying the Kiddush is brought in out of Grara.
So bring in Tzitzis.
No, because that's not something which is part of the mitzvah of Kavanah Yom.
Right.
Yeah.
Also in terms of Kiddush, I mean, the Rambam needed to find an example which brings out the idea that Pirsumei Nisa will be a deciding factor. So Kiddush works only because it's Tugabadon, so you need to find the Tugabadon Tugasa Mitzvah anyways. So for Kiddush, I don't know if you need as much of a move, because Kiddush is just showing that when it comes to two Tugabadon, so Ner Chanukah wins out because Pirsum is a deciding factor.
But say it again. Kiddush
loses. Right, because the Rambam wants to show that since Ner Chanukah has Zichron HaNeis, so that will make it win out against the other Dugabanas.
Okay.
But so it's an idea in Ner Chanukah that Zichron HaNeis isn't just a Tam Dali, but it really will have a halachic significance in the signing.
Right.
So it's bringing an idea in Ner Chanukah. So he needs to give an example, so it's not Bartech the Kiddush, he needs to give an example, which will be another Dugabanan, where this idea that Zichron HaNeis has an effect can be brought out.
Why wasn't it sufficient to bring up
Shabbos candles?
Yeah, Chanukah candles versus Shabbos candles?
Well, then you wouldn't show that Zichron HaNeis wins. Because Shabbos candles wins with Shalom.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
And that's also good to explain why it's in Hilchos Chanukah.
He wants to show you an idea of Zichron HaNeis by Kiddush. That's because, like we said, that the whole thing is Pirsum, and it's, you know, like, it's simple in Chanukah.
I see what you're saying. That's a good point.
That's
a good point. That's a good point. Alright.
Thank you very much, Rabbi.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Clear.
I think so.
Well, it's 10 to 12. We can't really do
that.
So now I can say anything. It's all right.
We'll be in touch. Thanks so much.
Now do me a favor. If anybody sees Ben, give him a message that within the next couple of days I'm gonna get him the shared. I give.